using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, the 3rd of November, year of our Lord 2021, day 597 of America Held Hostage. We're going to take a look today at the results from the elections, not just Virginia, but also New Jersey. Will it have a chilling effect on the tyranny of Joe Biden, or will he plod on, destroying his party's political future, because he doesn't have much of a future himself? Will he plod on, burning the country down, or will they alter course? I bet they will plot on to continue to burn the country down. So we have a lot of election results. We have headline news. We have updates as to what is happening with the climate change, with the mandates worldwide. Worldwide. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, let's begin with the election results, and of course, we all know that they're manipulated, but they are a poll, and they do take the public opinion. It is a sample of the public opinion, even though they rig it, but of course, they rig all the other polls as well. They manipulate all the information. So what information can we glean from this? Well, we saw a lot of dirty, underhanded tricks. As I said, we'd had already, some stuffed ballots. We'd had moves to remove any identification from the people who were voting by mail and that type of thing. No, not even the last four digits of your Social Security number. We're not going to do any of this stuff. And then they started blocking people who were not wearing a mask from voting in several different locations. And yet we have other people who said they were able to get in. There was that type of thing. Of course, that would be purely political because masks, especially for school children, were one of the key issues in this that activated people. I look at the results and I find it to be very positive in the sense that what activated people was to finally start to take a look at the way their children were being treated. If we do not care about the way our children are being treated, if we only look at ourselves and we don't think about future generations, we have a mindset that is going to be navigating through this for temporary benefits or try to skirt this or delay it for whatever. It is a very selfish mindset, to say the least, where you're not concerned about the future because you think, well, I think I can hold these people off for a little while. You have to oppose this stuff on principle. And the only way that you're going to oppose this on principle is if you have a moral foundation and if you're doing this for your children for future generations. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to do this, not at my age. Yeah, just live quietly, try to avoid this for a few more years, I'm fine, I'm done. No, you avoid it because you want to, and you resist it. You don't avoid it. You resist it because you want to do this for future generations. If we don't have that kind of mindset, we're done as a nation. Our families are done. And so that's what I see as the important aspect of this, because it focused on racism in schools. It focused on the pedophilia, the pedo-grooming of this LGBT agenda in schools. It focused on abusing children physically, psychologically, medically with these mask mandates. So that was a key part of this. And I think that is one of the most important things to take away from this, is that finally people have had it with their kids being abused to some degree. We'll see what happens with this. Now, at the very last minute, you had Trump jump into the election. Youngkin was trying to keep himself distant from Trump. He was not doing rallies with him. Everywhere you had McAuliffe trying to tie him to Trump. And so Trump, at the last minute, runs out and grabs Youngkin, so to speak, doing press releases, doing interviews. I always love him. I love him. We're buddies and all this stuff. Trump is trying to grab onto his coattails. Do you understand what's happening here? number one. Number two, Trump only cares about Trump. Trump doesn't care about policies. He doesn't care about principles. He doesn't care about party, his party winning even. And I don't care about his party winning. This is not about party. But all everything that he does is about putting himself first. And so he's, you know, putting out Save America statement. Yes, I love Youngkin. We're together on all of this and so forth. And oh, by the way, send me your money because this billionaire desperately needs more cash. Newt Gingrich, in terms of saying, well, if it's a close race, the Democrats will steal it. That has always been the case. It's always been the case. And I've said that with every election that I've covered. I said that even before I got into this business, when I was watching the elections, participating in the elections and political parties. Whenever it was close, they would steal it. If it was not even close, they wouldn't try. And so that was a given, but it wasn't even close in Virginia. However, in New Jersey, it still is extremely close. Look at this, too close to call. They have both the Republican and Murphy, the incumbent, at 49.6%. I would say that this is going to be some last-minute ballot stuffing that is going to be happening here. They are going to, this will go to the Democrat. I have no doubt about it. They will find the ballots to get him over when it is this close. That's with 84% of the expected vote in. So believe me, they will have the Democrat winning there. However, there is something else to be seen with this as well. Alex Berenson, as he commented on the election, he said, "Can you hear me? It's over. O-V-E-R, he said. You want to stay inside for the next 20 years? You want to stick your healthy kids with a biotechnology that barely existed 18 months ago for disease that won't even touch them? You want to wear face diapers in 100-degree heat? Well, have at it. But you're not going to tell us to do that anymore, not even in New Jersey. Leave us alone." Well, again, it is a massive pushback, but we will see them stuffing the ballot, I believe. You talk about how do we do this, right? I mean, here they are tied 49.6% each. And you know the Democrats are going to stuff this. And so you know that Murphy's going to come along and he's going to start mandating them everywhere. He was waiting until after the election. He's going to start mandating vaccines everywhere. You know they're going to stuff the ballot, get him back in. He's going to come back with mandates. So what do you do about this? Well, just take a look at what is happening at USC at the football game this last week. Now, look at that. All that red there, that's where the empty bleachers are. There's nobody there. I mean, this is not even like a preseason game or an exhibition game. There is nobody in there. There's probably more people in the marching band watching this in this massive football stadium than there are in the stands. So in California, they're afraid to show up. In Texas, you got 100,000, 110,000 people at a Texas A&M Alabama game. And when they beat the number one ranked Alabama, all of the fans ran on to the field. No social distancing, no masks, no nothing. What you do to this, you're not going to be able to defeat these people politically, I don't think. I mean, even though they've got Youngkin in, is he going to do anything? Will he do anything? Will he stand up to these people on the lockdown? Who knows? Right? Who knows? I would guess that he won't because he's an establishment figure. So what do we do with these people? How do we push back on this? We push back on it by living our lives. And we refuse to comply with this. We go, as I said all last year, go to church. Go to church. See it as an act of rebellion against an unjust, tyrannical government. Because that's what it is. I mean, you should be going for positive reasons. You should be going as you want to go because you want to worship God. But at the very least, go and do whatever you can. Go to restaurants if they'll let you in. If they won't, you let them know. I'll never be back here again. You've lost me as a customer. I've done that so many different places. I have to move if I ever want to go out to eat again. Last year, I basically burned all my bridges, and I will not go back to any of those restaurants because I didn't go to the Wall Street big box restaurants, you know, the ones that are chains. I wanted to help the local businesses. And when they threw me out, I said, that's it. You'll never see me again. I won't give you another cent. you need to be out of business because you are selling the rope that will hang you and me. And if you want to go commit suicide, go ahead. I'm not going to let you kill my future, my family's future. I will not give you another cent. People like you do not need to be in business. So that's how we get past this. We refuse to work for companies that treat us like cattle. We refuse to do business with people who treat us like slaves and who see themselves as the overseers on a plantation. We stop dealing with these people and we start creating our own society. We start having, if they're going to have all the sports shut down, start your own sports league. Start it informally. But get together in groups and ignore this stuff. Even if you lose in New Jersey, and you probably will lose in New Jersey, even though you won in Virginia and this guy will probably do nothing to defend your liberty, do it yourself. Now, they have some exit polls, and the exit polls are always kind of interesting. And let me just say this. I say this after every election. They have one company across the country that does exit polls everywhere. All of the news services subscribe to their information. And so they will give them, all of this is done by one company. It's a pool. And they will go through and they will tell you, based on people who voted for Trump, based on their cultural and economic situation, or their skin color, or their sex and gender, they will tell you how they voted based on some exit polls. There's one thing, though, that they will not tell you with all those demographic cross-tabulations. One thing they will not tell you, and that is the very bottom line number. When they ask people who they voted for, and then they go through and they get all of their demographics, and then they sort it by demographics, they do know what percentage of people voted for candidate A and what percentage of people voted for candidate B. The American government and the State Department, whenever they want to evaluate whether an election has integrity or not, or whether it was rigged, what they do is they look at the exit polls and they compare that to the official results. If there is more than a 5% deviation between the exit polls and the official results, they say the election was rigged. You will never, I repeat, you will never see the exit poll grand totals because they don't want you comparing that to the actual votes. This has always happened. This isn't, we didn't have a rigged election last year for the first time. Come on. I mean, this is just, this whole stop the steal stuff and everything is like, grow up. Do you realize that the election process, the rigging process, begins with who gets on the ballot, who gets into the debates, and it ends with the rigged vote totals at the end? And if they're close, they will heavily push into that. So there will be no exit poll to show whether or not this was fraudulent. But some of the things that they reported on, they said on abortion, 75% of the voters who think abortion should be legal in most cases supported McAuliffe. But Youngkin got stronger support, 85% of those who thought that it should be illegal. More than half of the voters, 53%, think parents should have a lot of say in their child's school and what it teaches. And they're voting for Youngkin by a 3-to-1 margin. See, the real issue, and we all knew that without them doing exit polls, we knew the real issue was how children were being treated, even more so than the lockdown, which I find kind of interesting because the lockdown is a part of it. The masking is a part of it. I got this from a listener saying, just left the polling booth in Virginia at a public school with my husband. We were the only ones not wearing a mask, but no one stopped us. So even if Youngkin doesn't win, I had a small but thrilling victory. And full disclosure, she said, there was a young man who was leaving the poll as we entered who was not wearing a mask. I hadn't yet put mine on. I held it up to him and asked, is it not required? He said, I made it through the whole way. I gave him a thumbs up and I followed suit. I would say that was the way it was, not this election, but the one before that in 2020, when Travis and I voted in the primaries. I did not vote in the main election because I was just too fed up at that point in time. By November, I was fed up. But in the primaries, we did. And they had all their little rituals about, you know, stand here, stand there, social distancing and all this kind of thing. And telling everybody they had to wear masks. We refused to wear masks. And We didn't have to. They let us do it because it was a state ruling that you could not. At the same time that Abbott was saying that you had to have a mask for everything else, they did not have a mask for voting. What does that tell you? As we look at the elections, I had this letter that was sent to me from a listener. He said, today, my small rural town with a population of just under 1,000 held our election for mayor and for two of four town council seats. I've lived in this town since being stationed here by the Highway Patrol back in 1997. After retiring 3 years ago, I've enjoyed serving my community by forming a neighborhood watch program while supporting my wife in her career as a librarian, and we homeschooled our 11-year-old son. My family works, plays, shops, attends church in a town that is 1 square mile, and we're happy and content. Over the recent years, neighbors have asked me to run for local office, but I've politely refused. This time, however, I permitted my name to be used in a write-in bid in one of two council seats. No campaigning was done. No signs were printed. No flyers were distributed. Aside from confirming my candidacy when directly asked, not once did I mention I was a voting option. I simply lived my life, continued to serve my family, church, and community, and as I feel our Lord and Savior directs me to do. When the polls closed and the votes tallied, I lost, but I was surprised to learn that I still took 1/4 of the total vote as an unadvertised write-in. And when eliminating absentee ballots, of which I was ineligible to use, I came in second, enough to be seated to town council. All I did was to be myself and to follow God's call to service. My point is this: while we place so much importance on politics, our true power comes from serving our communities by glorifying our Heavenly Father. His is the kingdom I must serve, and the kingdom which persists long after elections are over. I am pleased with my showing and reassured that my service to God is as beneficial, if not more so, to the people in the community than anything that politicians can provide. I did not mention what community, because I'm not sure if he wants that to be heard, if he wants to be associated with me. People don't realize how much I am hated. You probably do not want to be associated with me. In Maine, we had another important outcome. They had an amendment to their state constitution about the right to food. The right to food. This is key. And by the way, it passed. It's the first one of these in the country. This is more important than Youngkin's win. Far more important. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Statewide referendum that asked voters if they favored an amendment to the Maine Constitution, quote, to declare that all individuals have a natural, inherent, and unalienable right to grow, raise, harvest, produce, and consume the food of their own choosing for their own nourishment, sustenance, bodily health, and well-being. This is not anything that has been done anywhere else. As AP points out, this is an experiment that has not been done anywhere else. Well, this is an experiment that's called the American experiment. And the reason that this is necessary at this point is because the same people who are pushing this toxic Trump Kool-Aid, the Trump juice on everybody, the people that have been thoroughly bought out by big pharmaceutical companies, also are involved in our food supply. It is the Food and Drug Administration. And as corrupt as this bureaucracy is, and it is hopelessly, hopelessly corrupt, as corrupt as this bureaucracy is, as bought out as it is by big agricultural industries, by the big pharmaceutical companies that are doing things like GMO crops and that type of thing, it is essential for us at this point in time, before it starts, we have to establish that right, and we have to do it in state constitutions. And that makes it very much more difficult for these people to get away with this. They can still do anything they want. But if there is a constitutional amendment, and if people have just recently passed that, oh, if you go against the clearly stated constitutional amendment, if you go against what the mass of the people just approved, you got a fight on your hands. and that's a fight we're going to win. They positioned the amendment as a chance for Mainers to wrestle control of the food supply back from large landowners and giant retailers with little connection to the community. And I've got to say, you know, we have seen this, and this is going to be a key thing. And you should start thinking about doing this in your state as well. Because over the years, I have covered story after story after story of some town council coming in and creating all kinds of fines, harassment, sometimes even confiscating somebody's home because they were growing their own food or raising their own chickens or, you know, for their own eggs or whatever. And we're going to need to do that. We're going to need to do that. You better learn how to do that, and you better put in there some legal protection so that you can do that as well. And while you're at it, you need to work with the local farmers and make sure that there's no prohibition on you being able to get milk locally, meat locally, all these other things as well. Opponents said the drive was deceptively vague. I don't think it's vague. It's like, we can grow and eat whatever food we want. We have a right to do that. What is? And they listed every single thing that you could do in terms of raising food. So the Associated Propaganda, AP, so they also said it represented a threat to food safety and animal welfare. See, this is the way they're going to come after it. They always want to tell you that you can't eat food off of from the local farm because it's dirty, it's diseased. After they have loaded stuff with chemicals to make it last on the shelves forever, even after they have shipped it for a long period of time from other parts of the world, they load it up with chemicals. They load it with chemicals to make it look pretty. They load it up with chemicals to make it last. They load it up with chemicals to make it taste in a way that's going to be kind of addictive, right? All of the food that we get is adulterated, and they want to say that the food that you get at a local farm is not safe? That's really funny. Really funny. And then they make it about animal welfare. In Colorado, for example, they have a bill. I don't know how that fared, but I know when I was on the station this last spring, I guess it was, there was a constant ad and talk on the news about the move, just like they've done in California, to say, well, we think that raising farm animals is wrong, so we're going to prohibit that by law. Well, maybe you want to start with the NIH and Fauci first. There isn't anybody that's doing anything close to what he does to puppies for no reason, no reason at all. They're not using the puppies for food. They're not killing them humanely. They're torturing them to death. Don't tell me that you're interested in animal welfare if you don't have Fauci and his lot behind bars. And, of course, then there's what Fauci and his people do to human babies, not just puppies. You put those criminals behind bars, then we'll talk about animal welfare. Until then, it rings so hollow, we don't even need to go there and have that discussion. But, of course, that's being put out by AP. Said, we can have people trying to raise cows in their backyards in cities like Portland and Bangor. You know, when we moved here, my family had to temporarily rent a house, and we had cows all over the place. They were renting their land out to people for grazing, so they could get a tax break and everything. And I was worried that they were going to do something to the car. They didn't do anything to the car, but I would. It wasn't unusual for me to go out to my car to try to get in the car and have a really difficult time getting in the car because there was a giant wet cow patty that was right there by the door. It's like you try to climb over that and climb into a Miata at the same time. It was interesting. Couldn't stand there and just get in. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation.
They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Looking for better information? APSRadioNews.com features articles and commentary, along with audio from all the top news from around the world. APSRadioNews.com.
Sam Lowry? Is there a Sam Lowry here? Of course, that is the music to Brazil. And I'm playing that right now because we have a story about Terry Gilliam, the Monty Python alumni who did that amazing movie, Brazil. One of my favorite films, quite frankly. It puts a very dark, comedic spin on 1984. And it predicted pretty much everything that we're going through right now, except for the cancel culture. Who would have thought that Big Brother would have come to us dressed in a skirt? That's what we're seeing right now. And so Terry Gilliam was going to direct a Stephen Sondheim musical, Into the Woods. And he was going to do this in London. And yet, because of something that was in another movie, not in Brazil, I mean, he's now living Brazil, like the rest of us, but something that he did in another movie made fun of transgenderism. There was a dialogue where they had some Roman soldiers standing around, and one person says, well, I want to be a woman. He says, well, you can't have babies, said the leader. He said, don't oppress me, he said. I'm not oppressing you, Stan, you haven't got a womb. Where is the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box? You see, even there, he was able to predict the absurdity of where we are, except that now that it's come back to hit him. And, of course, I'm not a fan of The Life of Brian. The Life of Brian was set up to make fun of Christ. And it's pretty clueless garbage, frankly. But Brazil was spot on, and he didn't understand where this was going. And so because of this, because of his so-called transphobic views, by stating that, you know, well, I want to be a woman. Well, you can't be a woman because you haven't got a womb. Because of that, he is now going to be canceled by these people. Welcome to Brazil. So at the same time, we have American Heritage Girls. Now, this is a conservative Christian organization that has been put in place as the Girl Scouts have become an instrument of social destruction, quite frankly, deconstruction. And isn't it interesting that we live in a time where Terry Gilliam, who mocked Christ, they didn't really understand that what was keeping the that Christianity was a foundation of them, that was keeping us from going into this world that we now live in, this 1984 world that we now live in, this insanity of transgenderism and tyranny everywhere. They made fun of that. They made fun of the foundation of that. And yet, now he finds himself in the same on the same side of the issue as American Heritage Girls, who say, the founder says, as Christians, we must engage in this debate. Yes, we must, or we will lose everything in society. I said Scripture defines the true nature of a woman. It is relational. It is nurturing. It is vulnerable with a love for beauty and a desire to respond, said Patty Garibay, the founder and executive director. She said, God-given femininity is a gift that, when freely accepted, will bless a woman throughout her life. We believe that biblical femininity is the core essence of every woman, purposely designed by God. He has created men and women differently on purpose. Meanwhile, CNN says, transgender girls are welcome at the Girl Scouts. Let's translate that. What they're saying is boys in skirts are welcome at the Girl Scouts. And, of course, you know, homosexual scout leaders taking your kids into the woods. Oh, that's, and it, we're not talking about the Stephen Sondheim play here. We're talking about Rex Tillerson when he was at the Boy Scouts. Said, oh, yeah, it'd be good for us to have homosexual scout leaders. It'd be very modern and trendy for us to do that. Well, there's a reason you don't do that. I mean, you can always have somebody who is homosexual who is going to molest the kids. But what you're betting on when you segregate the kids by gender, you're betting on the fact that you're going to minimize that. Because there are fewer homosexuals than heterosexuals, you are minimizing the risk of pedophilia to your kids by segregating them by gender and by sex. That's the whole purpose of this. It's not that complicated, quite frankly. It's just that we've been lied to and gaslighted and deceived by mainstream media so much we can't see the obvious aspects of this. So these people are now keeping keeping Terry Gilliam from doing Into the Woods while Rex Tillerson and his lot are pushing homosexuals into the woods with kids. I said when this was being rumored back in December of 2016 as part of Trump's transition team, they were still waiting to see what he was going to be at that point in time. And I was tweeting fast and furious, and I was quoting this to real Donald Trump and to Alex Jones just to see if they would do anything about it. Of course, they didn't. I said, Rex Tillerson has got big moral issues with what he did at the Boy Scouts. And, by the way, he, even though he is was a former executive at Exxon, he is for all this climate change restructuring of our society. So if you're really sincere about all this, you need to do something about it. Alex got pretty upset with me for bothering him and Trump on that, yeah. So now we know, we understand why now, don't we? Americans, here's a hopefulness. Americans say that Democrats and Republicans are an equal threat to U.S. democracy. This is also very hopeful, along with the fact that we've seen what energized people in Virginia was a concern for their children. We have Roger Stone threatening to run for Florida governor if DeSantis doesn't do an election audit for Trump. Why are we still focusing on this? Well, because that keeps them at the front of the mob, the QAnon Trumpy people. And there's a lot of money in that. He says that if DeSantis doesn't do an election audit to try to support Trump, is that really what our problem is right now? Is our problem the fact that we don't have Trump in office? Is he going to do anything this next time? He had 4 years, and what did he do? He sold us out in every way possible. That's why I said, especially after the election, I'm done with this guy. All he was doing was grifting for money. And so is Roger Stone, frankly, at this point. He's going to run as a libertarian, he says, if DeSantis doesn't do an election audit. A libertarian who has Richard Nixon's face carved into his back. Just imagine the guy who gave us the EPA and gave us the Department of Energy and gave us wage and price controls and who escalated the war in Vietnam and 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. How many of these things do I have to go through? Who gave us the war on drugs, and you are going to run for office with a Nixon, as a libertarian with a Nixon tattoo on your back? Give me a break. Yeah, it's all just – notice that this is – everything is to keep you focused on Trump. Don't pay attention to the world that is being burned down by Biden using the Trump Kool-Aid that Trump continues to trumpet. Don't pay any attention to that. See, these people are here to distract you from what matters, and that's why I engage this here. They don't want you to see what matters. And interestingly enough, even though Trump did absolutely nothing, he didn't use his celebrity status. He didn't use his position as president to fight the lockdowns. He didn't use his celebrity status and his position as president to fight the censorship on social media. None of this. He didn't do anything about anything. Now, DeSantis is certainly not perfect, but he has done more than any other politician to fight this stuff. Far, far more. I mean, I talked about Kristi Noem in South Dakota. She hasn't done a single thing. She said, well, we're not going to interfere with the South Dakota National Guard. They got to get it because Biden said to. And we're going to support religious and medical exemptions for people who work for state government. And that's it. And she gets a headline from the Republican cheerleading media saying, look at this, she's standing up to this. She's not standing up to anything. She didn't even stand up for the state employees. She certainly didn't stand up for the National Guard. And she's doing nothing for people who want to go to private businesses or who want to be able to keep their job. She didn't do anything to fight vaccine passports or vaccine mandates. Nothing. Nothing at all. And so when you got the guy who has done some things, they have put fines, they've done lawsuits, they've challenged, they've fought this. Not another governor, not Abbott, nobody else really has fought this like DeSantis has. And he's not perfect. He's not perfect. I know there's a, you know, in the in one of those bills, there's some very troubling stuff. Now, Sabato, who is in Florida, says that was there already. They're going to try to get that out. I don't know about that. There is buried in one of these bills some statements saying that public health officials can arrest you, put you in quarantine, put you in FEMA camps. They can force you to get vaccinated. So that's buried on like line number 1100. What I'm telling you is don't trust any politician, but support them when they do the right thing. If they do the right thing, support the right thing. Instead of running against them because they wouldn't do an election for, you know, this virtue signaling, narcissistic politician, Trump. You know, going back to what I covered yesterday, I'm not going to play the clip again, but I just want to repeat the fact that he goes on with his longtime friend, Judge Jeanine on Fox News, and she sets this up and she says, well, you know, let's talk about what's going on. Police officers and firemen and nurses, our heroes, are being fired. They're losing their jobs. And we're talking about vaccinating kids that are 5 to 12 years old and forcing them to continue to wear a mask. What are you going to do about this? Shouldn't you have fired Fauci, she says? Are you sorry that you didn't fire Dr. Fauci? And as I pointed out yesterday, Trump didn't come back and say he was sorry that he didn't fire Fauci. What he did was he excused Fauci. He said, well, it's not because of him that they're losing their jobs. It's because of bad policies made by Biden. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? You're going to excuse Fauci? And then what does he do? Well, he talks about how he was more authoritarian than Fauci. Throughout all of this, he never answered her question about kids. He has no compassion for forcing masks on kids. He has no compassion for the people that were heroes that are now being fired. It's all about him. His entire answer is about him. Everything is still about him and about the fact that he can't be seen as the loser that he is. Now, I know the election was rigged, but Trump was a loser for 4 years before the election happened, and he was a loser throughout all of 2020. He said, I disobeyed Fauci. What did he disobey Fauci on? He said, well, he wanted to keep China open, and I closed it down to China. Then I closed it down to Europe, and I saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Well, he used to say that he saved millions of lives because, first of all, he did everything that Fauci told him. Fauci came with a bogus model from the Imperial College of London on that Friday the 13th, March the 13th, 597 days ago, and he locked everything down and provided money to incentivize the lockdown to governors and to hospitals. He gave massive funding to all the big pharmaceutical friends of Fauci. He incentivized the lockdowns and the hospitals and governors, as I just said. He was actually a comedic foil for HCQ. You know, he would throw these terms out there so that Fauci could say, oh, listen to this. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. I am the scientist. I'm the doctor. Take a back seat over here and just let me talk. You don't know what you're talking about. So actually, Trump made it more difficult for people to get an alternative treatment because he name drops it. He's unable to defend it. He doesn't get any of the doctors who can defend it. Instead, he just holds it out there, hangs it out there like a pinata, while Fauci takes off the mask and beats that pinata to smithereens. He claims that he took remdesivir when he got sick. He says he got sick. He took remdesivir when he got sick, just like Fauci told him to. He claims he injected himself with his own Kool-Aid, even after he had natural immunity. See, he's modeling that for you as well. And he let governors and petty bureaucrats everywhere trample all of your rights. He never fought that in court. Look at how hard Biden is fighting for his mandates. Did Trump fight for the mandates in the Bill of Rights, telling government that they can't take this stuff away from you? No. He went along with the whole idea that you're not essential. Trump didn't fight any of these evil Democrat governors that locked us down. I keep hearing this. Well, it was a Democrat governor. So it wasn't even the Republican. Well, it was a Republican governor's. And he was giving them cash to do it, and he didn't lift a finger to fight any of these people. At least DeSantis has. He destroyed the middle class. He played along with this pandemic game, even shutting down the rallies, shutting down the Republican convention. He allowed a corrupt lockdown mail-in election that even Barr detailed how it was going to work and how he's going to lose and how it looked like he was winning, and then they would get these things and stuff it, and he would lose. And finally, he sold, and is still selling these toxic poisons that Biden is forcing. See, Biden has always been an authoritarian. Well, I just won't say any adjectives here. But he's always been about authoritarian measures. He was there at the very beginning of the war on drugs, pushing mandatory minimums and the rest of the stuff under Reagan. He wanted to take away, and he was successful in the assault rifle bans and all kinds of gun control issues. So he's somebody who wants to lock you up. He's somebody who wants to take everything away from you. He has always been authoritarian. His big issue with Clarence Thomas had nothing to do with Anita Hill and the he said, she said. It was all about the fact that Clarence Thomas believed that we have natural rights, like it says in the Declaration of Independence. You'd be hard pressed to find anybody any more authoritarian than Joe Biden. What is Trump about? Trump is a salesman. Trump sells the vaccine. Trump sold the vaccine all last year. Trump is still selling the vaccine all this year. He's the salesman. Biden is the bad cop. So you have not a good cop, bad cop. You have a salesman and a bad cop. Their partnership. This is professional wrestling. Yeah, and he goes on to say, I got the vaccines done. 3 vaccines, less than 9 months. They said it was going to take 5 years. It probably wouldn't have gotten done. I got them done. They work. I'm very proud of them. But you shouldn't be forced to take it, of course. No. Yeah. If you build it, they will come. And I opposed it all the way through because I knew it was going to be this. And I knew it was going to be done through the corporations. If it had been Trump, they would have had to incentivize the corporations. But with it being Biden, they don't have to incentivize the corporations. They have to threaten them. So as we move ahead, you know, we've got to still be worried about Trump. And you got to still send him your money. But now there's a special prize. Travis, show the picture of what you can get if you give this needy billionaire $35. You can get the official Trump wrapping paper. With, of course, his name and face all over it. You know, because Trump is the reason for the season. Yeah, it's going to be going to have his face all over it. And it is now, this wrapping paper, I guess, has now been declared essential by the former POTUS, who is now a current POS. And here's an idea for you. You can wrap, you can use that to wrap something else very special. The St. Alex Jones prayer candle. Yes, this is actually a thing at InfoWars. Alex is actually selling a prayer candle of himself in a mockumentary, you know, a way of mocking Catholics. So there you go. You can get your St. Alex Jones, and you can wrap it in Trump, because Alex Jones does wrap himself in Trump on a daily basis. How about that? It's perfect. To give you an idea of how delusional these people are, and this is why both the Trump wrapping paper thing and this story about QAnon gathering at the Dallas airport yesterday because they believed that JFK Jr. was going to be coming back and speaking to them. The second coming of JFK Jr. And so they have these conspiracy, and you've probably seen the pictures. You know, they got a picture of an older guy, and they say, yeah, this guy is actually JFK Jr., and he's going to be speaking. And this is something that was put out there. And it's amazing to me that no matter how many times these false predictions crash and burn, it was like Jerome Corsi telling me in, I think it was December of 2017. Yeah, December, first December of the show. He was saying, yeah, well, you know, we got this stuff from QAnon. And they just said that Julian Assange is going to be released. And see, he talked very, you know, he's got these riddles that he puts out there. And he said something about, you know, red and white. And we know that Switzerland's flag is red and white. So that means that Julian Assange is going to be going to Switzerland. It's like, are you kidding me? I don't believe it when I see it. So it doesn't matter how many times their prophecies fail. What do you do with a false prophet? Well, first thing you do is stop listening to them, right? If we were to give them the old mosaic treatment, you take them outside the camp and stone them. You at least need to throw them out of the camp. You need to stop camping with these people, okay? Stop camping out with the people who are lying to you over and over again because it's sensational. Or because it's just, you know, doing it for a laugh, I guess. I don't. What is going on with QAnon? And they had people showing up. QAnon followers thought that JFK Jr. was going to appear on the grassy knoll and speak yesterday afternoon. One person tweeting about this, he said, there is currently a large crowd of what appears to be QAnon believers at the AT&T Discovery Plaza in downtown Dallas. A popular QAnon theory recently is that JFK Jr. of the Kennedy family will be making a big announcement at Dealey Plaza by the grassy knoll sometime tomorrow. Okay, so this was written on November the 2nd, so stay tuned. It's going to happen today. Oh, it'll happen today. And when that happens, I'll eat Steve Pachinik's sting. No, I won't, actually. DeSantis, by the way, is going to fight the Biden administration policy that would give $1 million to illegal immigrant families. You know, you just come across the border and collect your $1 million after they separate your kids. How many are we going to do anything to help people who have had their kids taken away by CPS, this multi-billion dollar child trafficking operation inside the United States? I've talked to so many CPS victims over the years, people who have had to fight for months, for years to get their kids taken, get their kids back. There's never, you're not allowed to see what the charges against you are. All due process is removed. You're not allowed to confront your accusers to see what, even see what the charges are. The star chamber purpose that is being done to families all across the country. And more often to people who are poor, black, inner city. And yet there's no sympathy for that. These people, if they get their kids back, there is no compensation for what happened with that. Now, I don't know how long these kids were separated from their parents when their parents put them at risk, taking them across a border or handing them over to a child trafficker. And I think some of them are being kidnapped and trafficked. As we look at what is happening in the economy, I find this to be interesting. You know, as we've had housing go up significantly and get very volatile. Zillow decided that they were going to jump into the future, and they were going to, since they were so good at estimating prices of houses, they were going to have their artificial intelligence estimate the houses, and they would buy them from you, and then they would resell them. And so now what happens is they've got about 7,000 homes that they want to sell for $2.8 billion. They're getting rid of this whole house flipping scheme that they had predicated on artificial intelligence. And I've got to say, for the longest time, we've looked at houses, even before now, we've looked at Zillow and their evaluation of houses. They were just off the wall from what we had seen. But they truly believe their own press. Zillow is going to try to sell these instead of a single transaction. They're going to try to offload them one at a time and then shut down this house flipping operation. They said 93% of the homes listed in the Phoenix portfolio are underwater. In other words, they paid way more for them than they're worth. So it's going to also mean that this artificial intelligence is going to have them fire 25% of their workforce. You always heard that artificial intelligence was going to take our job. They just didn't anticipate it was going to be this way, by bankrupting the company by doing the wrong decisions. And that's what is happening here. They've already lost more than $380 million on the program, but they've got about nearly $3 billion worth of stuff, their inventory. And again, about a little bit more than a third of them are underwater in Phoenix, one of the markets that they were, that they jumped into. This article from the News, how car shortages are putting the world's economy at risk. You see, it's been a big part of our economy, and they're saying, well, what happens if people aren't making trucks and cars to sell to people? Because that accounts for about 3% of the global economic output. And yet these are the same people who are telling us it's no big deal if you fire 5%, 10%, 20% of the workforce because they don't want to be forced to take an experimental Kool-Aid from Trump. That's no big deal. But, you know, if we drop our manufacturing of cars by 3%, who's going to be buying those cars if you force people out of their jobs? And even more importantly is the loss of transportation, because that's what is being calculated and manipulated at this COP26 nonsense that's happening for a full week with these people. Real quickly, before we move on into the mandated Trump Kool-Aid and the New World Orders, we got a couple of stories here that are not strictly about the Supreme Court, but these are things that are before the Supreme Court. Not only abortion law, which I talked about the other day, and I said, and just to recap it very quickly, my concern is that this approach, which is kind of like a cancel mob approach to stopping abortion. Why? Because we don't have any state officials who have a spine to stand up for their constitutional powers as a state government. See, there is no authority for the Supreme Court to define what marriage is or define when life begins or many of the other things that the Supreme Court has done. Roe v. Wade was one of the first major things that the court did along that line. And it is really where they have, you know, stuck their stake in the ground, saying that we can create law and we can amend the Constitution and see, now we have a right to privacy, which is what they call abortion. What a joke. What a cynical joke that has become, a right to privacy. Your body, your choice. What a cynical joke that has become. But the problem with this approach is, and the person defending it for the state of Texas, when questioned in the Supreme Court, said, well, yeah, that could happen. What could happen is these same people could use it to shut down your free speech, or to use it to shut down a free press, or it could be used to shut down your rights to own guns. Pretty much any individual liberty, real liberties, real rights, God-given rights that are protected in the Constitution could still be shut down from this approach. Now, what the Democrats want to do in terms of giving more and more power to the federal government to dictate this and to take even more things away from the state, that's also going in the wrong direction. So you got the Republicans going out with a novel, complex way to do this with essentially a cancel mob. And then you got Democrats reacting to that by saying we need to have even more federal power. Both of those are a bad idea. What should have happened, and it should have happened 50 years ago, The state of Texas, where you had Roe v. Wade, should have said, well, you've made your decision, let's see you enforce it. In the same way that Andrew Jackson said about the Supreme Court. He had power as president, and they didn't have the power to enforce it. They could issue their opinions, but they had no authority, and they had no power. And the states should be saying the same thing about abortion. They need to grow a spine. They need to read the 9th and 10th Amendment of the Constitution and follow that plan instead of improvising with things that are going to be used to subvert every one of our rights. And so we also have another case on the Second Amendment before the Supreme Court. And the LA Times and the left-wing media and Drudge Report are now trying to push an idea that gun rights should be taken away because of their bogus understanding of history. See, they don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to reading the actual text. They said the Second Amendment has been interpreted by the court as applying to the state's rights to establish a well-regulated militia rather than to an individual's rights to own guns. But then that changed with the Heller decision. District of Columbia versus Heller. Heller was an off-duty police officer that Washington, D.C. was telling could not carry a firearm if he wasn't in uniform. It was never, and let me just say this, forget all of the interpretations of history and what happened in merry old England, right? This was never, never about any of that. Never about any of that. If I recall in my history, I don't know, sometime, when was it, 1775, 1770, somewhere around there, 76. It seems like we broke with England. It seems like we said we had certain inalienable rights that we possessed as human beings, natural rights, the things that mentioned Joe Biden hates so much. We had natural rights because we're human, and we had a government that was destructive of those natural rights. And so we said with the Declaration of Independence that it was our right and our duty to alter or to abolish a government like that and to set up a government that was going to protect our liberties. And so with the Second Amendment, as well as the first eight amendments, every single one of those is about individual rights. Now, rights come from our being human. Rights come from us being created by God and equal before him in terms of the way we should be treated by government. That's the basis of rights. If the government tells you that you're allowed to do this or whatever, that's privilege. All these people talk about privilege all the time. How ironic. You know, it's just like the people who say, well, I can kill a kid because I have a right to privacy and it's my body, but you better wear a mask. You better get a vaccine because I don't care about your body. And they're all torn up and, you know, twisted about privileges, right? Except that they want to make everything in life a privilege. They're fighting for government privilege over you in every aspect of your life. So only the 9th and 10th really kind of affect the balance of power between the states and the people and the federal government. They divided the power between the people, the states, and the federal government. And they made it clear that if they do not expressly give that power to the federal government, they don't have it, and they can't invent it, and they can't pull it out of things that were already in the body of the Constitution, such as the Commerce Clause or the General Welfare Clause or whatever, right? So the 9th and 10th Amendment were not about states' rights. States don't have rights. States have power. The first eight amendments were about individual rights, not individual privilege. And so this whole narrative about a well-regulated militia being the National Guard, that is absolute nonsense. I won't go into my discussions about that with individuals, but that's what's taught in schools. I had a guy who worked for us, liked him a lot, but he was a salutatorian, which means that he paid attention very closely to what they taught him in school, did not question it, but regurgitated it. And he regurgitated this whole idea that the National Guard is a militia and there's no individual right to own guns. So we had a discussion. and we still were friends after that. I don't know if I convinced him or not. I don't really have to. It is a right. I can read it myself. But anyway, when you look at this, what they're trying to sell now, this is the LA Times. They're saying beginning in the 1200s, kings had issued proclamations prohibiting being armed when traveling in public or entering the city of London, they noted. So they got prohibitions against body armor, and that's what these guys want to do as well, even body armor. In 1328, the Parliament adopted the Statute of Northampton, which said, quote, "No man, great nor small, except the king's servants in his presence, shall go nor ride armed by night or by day in fairs, markets, nor in part elsewhere, or forfeit their honor, their armor, and their bodies to prison at the king's pleasure." And so they said, see, that settles it. Read the Constitution. Something happened between 1328 and now, and I just have to say, we're at the point now. This is not a historical discussion. This is really a theological discussion. Our rights come from God. This is a constitutional discussion. The U.S. Constitution superseded anything that happened in England. We are not English subjects. And that's one of the problems with Roe v. Wade. It looks to foreign law, and it looks to selected scientific opinions about when life begins. It does not look to the Constitution, even though it pays lip service to the idea that it's going to at the beginning of the decision, but it never anywhere in Roe v. Wade looks at the actual constitutional issues, because if they did, they would notice that they don't have any authority to rule on when life begins. They don't have any authority to write law in the Supreme Court or to amend the Constitution. In Mason, Ohio, they become the 41st city to outlaw abortion within its limits, lesser magistrates. Now, unfortunately, they are a little bit shaky. They're emphasizing that their ordinance outlawing abortion does not go against Roe v. Wade. Well, then you need to go against it. You need to rewrite that until you go directly challenge Roe v. Wade or any Supreme Court ruling. But it works within those rulings and within current federal and state laws to go as far as we legally can to prohibit and to restrict abortion access under the confines of the undue burden standard which were set by the U.S. Supreme Court. It is important to protect innocent life, but let me tell you, protecting our liberty and the rule of law is protecting innocent life. And that's why I said I don't support what Texas has done, because I don't support an end justifies the means. Because in the end, they are going to destroy life. And if we lose our rule of law, the first city to become a sanctuary city for unborn babies was Wascom, Texas, in June of 2019. So this is something that is fairly new. And now there are 41 cities that have done that, but they're still afraid to take on this usurped power from the Supreme Court. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
All right. I want to take a look at what is happening with the mandated Trump Kool-Aid. I have a listener who sent this to me from, this is actually coming from a report about what is happening with emergency rooms in Michigan. And the listener said, I worry that those who have taken the Trump juice are going to be susceptible to a host of different viruses and infections more than usual, especially those who took the vaccine that is wrapped in a renal virus. I pray this is not the case. I pray every day for that. And so what they sent was an article that is coming out of NPR talking about how emergency rooms are swamped with seriously ill patients, although many of them do not have COVID. And this is an example of what we have done to our medical system by financially incentivizing this to an absurd amount. Again, a bonus if you get a test positive, regardless if the person came in with a broken arm, now you got a COVID patient, $13,000. If you can set them off on the side and get them sick, you know, you can get another and put them on a ventilator, intubate them, you can get another $39,000. But either way, you get 20% bonus on everything you do for that patient if you just get that positive test. And so you got to clear the decks. Get everybody out of here that doesn't have a positive test. We don't want anybody clogging up our profit centers here. It's become completely mercenary. It has nothing to do with medical ethics. It has nothing to do with medical science. It's about the money. So in this NPR article, they say, well, I always feel very, very bad when I walk down the hallway and I see people that are in pain or needing to sleep or needing quiet, but they have to be in the hallway. And you can see there's 10 or 15 people walking by every minute. NPR says the scene is a stark contrast to where the emergency department and thousands of others like it were at the start of the pandemic. Oh, wait a minute. Now here we are, 597 days later, as they were kicking people off of social media, mocking people as liars and conspiracy theorists, even though they're walking in and showing us empty hospitals, having encounters with hospital administrators threatening to have them arrested for showing that there's nobody at all at the hospital while we were being told that we had to lock down, we were not essential, while they were stealing our businesses, stealing our lives, stealing our property, stealing our rule of law, our liberty. We had to pretend that these hospitals were overcrowded, that this was an emergency. And now here we are 597 days later, and NPR admits that this wasn't happening. Except for initial hotspots like New York City in the spring of 2020, many ERs across the country were often eerily empty. Well, they were eerily empty in New York City as well. The nurse who wrote the book, Pandemic Nurse, said, yeah, it wasn't happening in Florida, so I wanted to help with this. So I voluntarily went to New York to help them, and they just put me off to the side for like 3 days. And then after, you know, they brought me in, I could see there wasn't anybody in the hospital. I read you the stories about the same thing that we're seeing right now. Oh, you got people in the hallways, and I'm saying that that's not happening now. I think that is happening now. But they were saying at the time, we got people in the hallways here in New York, and it's just total bedlam. And I went back, and I found 3 years earlier, the same news organizations running the same stories about the same hospitals in New York City 3 years earlier. We don't have enough beds. We don't have enough nurses. We got people in the hallway and so forth and so on. They were trying to get authorization, permission to expand. Permission to expand if they're county owned. And if you're privately owned, you still have to have permission to expand your hospital. It's called a certificate of need. And that's one of the many problems with our medical system. We don't have a free market, by the way, in medicine. We haven't had that for a long time. That was not there even before Trump threw more monkey wrenches into the system last year. So finally, you know, if you want to believe that they had an emergency going on in New York City, 2,500-bed hospital, never used. Army hospital was set up, never used. We saw pictures of the empty beds as they put it in place. Never saw anybody in them because they were never used. They didn't use the hospital ship that was there. They didn't use Franklin Graham's additional things that he set up. So he packed up and quietly went home, and now he's cheering the vaccine. Give me a break. Who's paying him? Anyway, visits to emergency rooms dropped to half of their typical levels, according to the Epic Health Research Network, and they didn't fully rebound until this summer. So now they're telling you the truth. it wasn't a pandemic. It wasn't. They pushed people away who needed to have treatment because they wanted the Trump COVID bonuses, the COVID cash from Trump, with the executive order declaring a national state of emergency. Patients were showing up to the ER, aren't showing up now, sicker than ever before the pandemic. Their diseases are more advanced and in need of more complicated care. Why? Because they've been refused care for a year. Many people have chronic conditions. They can't get care because why? They could make more money with the COVID patients. Months of treatment delays because of hospital greed have exacerbated chronic conditions and worsened symptoms. Doctors and nurses say the severity of illness ranges widely and includes abdominal pain, respiratory problems, blood clots. Blood clots. Since when has that become a leading cause of hospitalization? What is causing that? I can't imagine what could be causing blood clots to become one of the leading causes of hospitalization, or heart conditions, or suicide attempts. Suicide attempts are a direct result of the lockdown. We know that. They at least admit that. They won't admit that the blood clots and the heart conditions have been exacerbated because of this vaccine. They said, except now that those long-term care floors are now full as well. Not just the ERs, but the long-term care floors are full as well. And they've got a lot of non-COVID patients. And so what's the response to this now? Well, you know, now we do have, during the pandemic when we had to lock down, we weren't using the hospital beds anywhere. They were just empty everywhere. But now the hospital beds are full. Now the ERs are full. Now the regular hospital beds are full. What do we want to do? Well, we want to fire 10 to 20% of the nurses. This is not about public health. This is not about medical care. It's not about medical science. It's not about medical ethics. This is a tyrannical, draconian move for power. And we'll talk here coming up about the fact that China is sent out and panicked people. They announced on their official account on Weibo or where everybody was watching it, better store food for winter, they said. And they set off a wave of panic buying. So as we look at this, these people are willing to shut down hospitals, entire hospitals. They're willing to shut down departments of hospitals. We've seen this from the very beginning. Oh, we're going to shut down our maternity ward. Must not be as much of a profit center as the COVID stuff, right? But they don't have nurses, so they're having to shut down hospital care. If you cared about any of this, if this was really about public health, you wouldn't be firing nurses, especially not at this point, after 600 days of this nonsense. Even patients who arrive by ambulance are not guaranteed a room, you know, unless they pass the COVID test, and then they can get the money. So there's been an increase in people coming to the ER with a lot more serious conditions like strokes and heart attacks. And blood clots. How would that be? What would be causing that? Well, I don't know. I don't know. At the beginning of a recent shift, a nurse said she heard a patient crying nearby, and she went to investigate. It was a paraplegic man who had recently had surgery for colon cancer. His large post-operative wound was sealed with a device called a wound vac, which pulls fluid from the wound into a drainage tube attached to a portable vacuum pump. But the wound vac had malfunctioned, which is why he had come to the ER in the first place. Staffers were so busy, however, that by the time this nurse who came in, actually she is a president of this, Marino, came in, president of a emergency room association. By the time Marino came in, the fluid from his wound was leaking everywhere. She said, when I went in, the bed was covered. I mean, he was lying in a puddle of secretions from this wound, and he was crying because he said to me, I'm paralyzed, and I can't move away from all these secretions, and I know I'm going to end up getting an infection. I know I'm going to end up getting an ulcer. I've been laying in this for like 8 or 9 hours. Over this last year, the way the pandemic cash from Trump has corrupted our hospitals, turned them into, you probably didn't think it was possible for these people to get greedier and more mercenary than they were in the past. But, oh, we have seen it go up exponentially this last year. And one of the things that they have done is to isolate patients from family and from visitors who would normally alert and not allow this to happen. They would grab a nurse and they say, you got to take care of this. These people are warehoused and left to die. And they're doing this to this guy. He doesn't have COVID. He went in because he's got a problem with the wound vac not working, and they just leave him there in these secretions to stew and to die for 8 or 9 hours. The nurse in charge of care told Marino she simply hadn't had time to help this patient. She said, I've had so many patients to take care of and so many critical patients. I started an IV drip on this person, and that person is on a cardiac monitor. I just didn't have time to get in there. Well, first of all, I don't buy that over an 8 or 9 hour period. But secondly, she is overworked, probably because they've been firing nurses. This is what they're doing to our system. They're busting it. Everything in our system, whether it is transporting goods around, whether it's transporting food around, whether it's getting essential medical care to people, emergency ambulances with 9/11, firemen, police, everything is being deliberately brought to a halt. Why are they doing this? Well, again, when we talk about the food and the panic that China is engendering there, they're panicking people because you still have people probably there who remember what happened with the Great Leap Forward. You know, when I was a child, I used to hear all this stuff, eat your broccoli because people are starving in China. I didn't know what was going on, but now I do. It was deliberate. It was deliberate what Stalin did to the people in Ukraine. And they're trying to starve us in every aspect of the supply chain. Whether you're talking about consumer electronics or cars, or you're talking about essentials like food and medical care, fire protection, everything is being shut. This is a Marxist tactic. This is what Mao did to help establish his power. You look at it and say, why would he starve his own people? Why would he kill tens of millions of people to establish his power? Why is Biden doing this? To establish government power. So Marino said this is not humane care. This is horrible care. It is because they are pushing nurses out by the massive numbers. In Queensland, Australia, 7,000 healthcare workers are being pushed out because they say we're not going to be medical guinea pigs for this Trump Kool-Aid. This hasn't been tested. We've been here on the front lines. We've seen the non-pandemic last year, and we've seen now how people are getting deathly sick, paralyzed, how they are dying from these vaccines, and we're not getting the vaccine. You might want to pay attention when the healthcare workers who've been on the front line for 600 days seeing this, and this person is holding up a sign that says, 573 days face-to-face with COVID patients while unvaccinated. I never got COVID. I have an immune system. Don't mandate my choices. But the Queensland health minister says she, always these nannies, isn't it? As they're talking about, it could be as high as 7,000 people they're going to kick out of the health care system there. She says she's not concerned about widespread disruption. Of course she's not. It doesn't mean that there won't be widespread disruption. She's just not concerned about it. Remember, that's the point, and that the point is to disrupt. I'll play this for you again.
You have to prove that this works, and then you've got to go through all of the clinical trials, phase ones, phase twos, phase three, and then show that this particular product is going to be good over a period of years. That alone, if it works perfectly, is going to take a decade.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously, we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet.
And it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
But it is not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. We could get the RNA sequence from that, beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch and self-administer.
Yeah, that patch that you self-administer, that's the one that Gates designed with MIT. It's got the little micro, nano needles that don't cause you any pain, but they do inject not only the toxin, but also something that can be illuminated, luciferase, or luciferase, if you wish, but it's luciferase. So they can see that you've been vaccinated. So they can vaccinate. You can self-administer it. Oh, it doesn't hurt. It's fine. And then it leaves a mark that shows up with a certain light. So, but that's the point. When this Queensland health minister says she's not concerned about widespread disruption, that's because widespread disruption is the goal. Not concerned about it. She wants it. They want to do this from the inside. They want to do it iteratively. They want to do it gradually. Gradually increasing that. And that is what this is about. How many times do these people have to tell us what the plan is before we realize there's a plan that they're executing? It comes, and listen, this is in Queensland, Australia. How many cases do they have of COVID-19? Zero, zero, zero cases. This is not a pandemic. They don't have to do this. They don't have to take more draconian measures than they did last year. They don't have to fire 7,000 health people. They're creating a health crisis. They're creating disruption. They're creating starvation. Zero new cases in Queensland. And this article here says the health minister said that more than 92% of the staff had already been vaccinated. And the comment here is that they always stress the percentage. An attempt to make those who stand firm feel powerless. Let me tell you, even if that is true, again, do you believe anything these people are telling you? When they tell you that it's 92%, that means that 8% of the people have opted out. We took this country into freedom with just 3% of the population. Most of the people are going to be useless sheep. We've got three times under that reckoning there. We've got three times the number of people we need. And that is probably, it's probably many, many times more people than they're telling you. They will lie to you about that. So they always stress the percentage to try to make you feel powerless. They play with the numbers. Everything about this has been a numbers game. It's been a lie based on statistics that they manipulate, that they twist for their own purposes. But more than 7,000 staff were yet to confirm their vaccination status, with about 4,000 to receive a show cause notice today or be suspended on full pay. As one person said, that's huge. An army of 7,000 can hold back an army of tens of thousands. It has been done countless times throughout history. They're working hard. They're trying to save face. But we have the upper hand, folks. What matters in this is not the numbers. What matters is the determination. Look at Thermopylae. Look at many other cases throughout history. So we got an army. We got a big army. We got an army that is bigger than we need, as a matter of fact. I think in order for God to be glorified, we got to, like Gideon, we got to tell some of the people, stay home. We got way more than we need. It's not about keeping staff safe. It's not about keeping the community safe. They've got zero cases. Let's understand what this is about. This is not about reason, science. It's not about medical care. It's not about ethics. It's not about anything. This is raw, unfiltered tyranny. They have zero cases there. Zero cases is something that had a very, 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 very low case fatality rate, even by their own statistics. We are injecting our children with something that they have a statistically zero, zero chance of dying from. And we're putting masks on them after we do that. This is just domination. That's all this is. A federal judge has blocked here in the U.S. an Illinois hospital system from putting unvaccinated workers on unpaid leave while they work through religious exemptions. This is a case that has been brought by Liberty Counsel. It's in Chicago, the North Shore Hospital System. And the judge said, Judge John Ness on Friday, said they can't be fired. They can't be placed on what is effectively, in my mind, unpaid leave. He said North Shore is going to have to keep paying them if you wish to require them to show up to work and use personal protective equipment and go through testing because you need the help and you don't want to pay them to be off-site, well, that's up to the hospital. But you can't fire them for this right now. This is a letter sent to me from a listener. Patricia is in Maine. And as I was talking about what is going on in the Supreme Court yesterday and how you've had on multiple cases, Barrett and Kavanaugh basically taking a pass on religious liberty issues. She says, as I re-listened to Monday's show, I remembered the theatrics during Kavanaugh's confirmation process. Susan Collins of Maine spent 30 minutes or more reassuring her minions how Kavanaugh had assured her that he would not use his religious beliefs to attack the sacred Roe v. Wade. As I recall, Sean Hannity praised Susan Collins for her support, especially her, quote, wonderfully eloquent, unquote, as Patricia says, it was vomit-provoking press conference. And Mitch McConnell and others were urging us to support Collins as her reelection was so endangered at that time. And the witch was, of course, reelected. Manchin cried crocodile tears as he struggled with breaking from the Democrats on the Kavanaugh vote. And, of course, Alaska's Jezebel fell on her sword by not voting for Kavanaugh. It was all theater. All of this just came to my mind as you spoke about Cav, or we should call him Cave, because he caves in, right? Cave in all. That's what we should call him, Cave in all. He caves in all principles. And spiritually, Barron Barrett cheering on Maine's squashing of the First Amendment, saying that they're not even going, they don't care that Maine is not even going to allow religious exemption. Yeah, we're just going to throw it away. That doesn't even apply. First Amendment, Constitution, doesn't apply in Maine. Supreme Court says, yeah, that's fine. Because of Barrett. Because of the guy who caves in all issues. Anyway, she goes on to say, Cave in all made his deal with Susan Collins and the devil. Susan obviously did that a long time ago. And his sister in darkness, Barrett, followed through with her deal as well. The same dark theater is played right before our eyes over and over again, just meandering through memory in the wee hours of the morning. I'm sure you already made this connection between Maine and Susan Collins and the charade of these two dedicated, quote-unquote, Christian Supreme Court judges. But this entire show has been such an eye-opener on complicity, pre-orchestrated. She says, you'll say it far more succinctly than I am sure. Well, I don't think I could put it any better than you do. So I read it verbatim. That's exactly what she had. I had a couple of comments there to make it even longer. In Chicago, it's not just the hospital system, but now a judge, a different judge there. There's two judges. This one is Raymond Mitchell. The other one was John Ness or something to that effect. In Chicago, the judge tells Marxist Lori Lightfoot that she can't enforce vaccine mandates on the police there. That must have kept her up at night. Well, one of the people in the police union said, obey now and grieve later is not possible. Well, I'll show you some people who obeyed and are now grieving. But he's talking about a labor grievance. He said they would have no grievance to pursue if they obey now, and there would be no remedy no arbitrator could award. An award of back pay or reinstatement cannot undo a vaccine. Nothing can. That's exactly right. And the fire department of New York, the union head there, says that de Blasio ensured that people who, quote, care for criminals have more rights than people who care for the average New Yorker. In other words, he's working with the people who are doing the prisons, because, I mean, they've got Riker Island is turning into escape from New York type of situation. But he doesn't really care about people if their houses burn down, the fire departments and the rest of this stuff. Teachers, they're going to get the jab or they're going to get the boot one way or the other. Police officers, firemen, that type of thing. News Trust, Reuters, is talking about what is happening with military-industrial complex contractors. People like Raytheon, people like Boeing, and others. They're hit with a dilemma, and as we are facing in the next day or so, it's very imminent that we are going to have the OSHA regulations are going to be posted in the Federal Register. And so these corporations have been going to the Office of Management and Budget and negotiating behind closed doors as to what they would like. And guess what? Just as we see with Trump when he's talking to Judge Jeanine, they don't care about you. They're working on negotiating things for their own benefit. Yeah, forget you. They don't care anything. This is what, they're not going to look out for you. They're not going to give you your liberty. They're not going to defend the Constitution. They're not going to do any of this stuff. They're looking out for themselves. That's true of these corporations, just as it is true of these politicians, Democrat and Republican. And the sooner we learn that we are on our own, the sooner we get away from this fixation of Trump and QAnon nonsense and Roger Stone pushing all this stuff and Alex Jones, the sooner we get away from that, the better. That has got to stop. How many times do these people have to trick you before you understand where they're coming from? In Wichita, Kansas, nearly half of the roughly 10,000 employees at aircraft companies Textron and Spirit AeroSystems remain unvaccinated. They said they're risking their jobs in defiance of a federal mandate, according to a union official. We're going to lose a lot of employees over this, said the head of the local machinist union district. He said, but we are staunchly opposed to what we see as government meddling and personal health decisions. You see, this is what this is about. This is about the principle involved here. And I talked about the firemen who put together an organization to push back against these mandates. As a fireman in Alberta, Canada, he was eligible early on, and he took the vaccine. He took the Trump jab, the Trump juice, the Trump Kool-Aid early on because he believed in all that nonsense. But he said, now that they're making this a mandate, I'm very concerned about what's going to happen with this. We're going to lose all decisions over our lives. And I've said for the longest time about the FDA and even about the DEA, I said, when the government can tell you what you cannot put in your body, the government will eventually tell you what you must put into your body because they view you as a slave. And now people are finally understanding. There'll be one injection, two injections, three injections, four. We can make a nursery rhyme out of this thing. When are we going to figure this out? Well, they figured it out, and the firemen did in Alberta. These people have figured it out. This is about the principle. And if we don't understand this is about the principle, a very dangerous precedent is going to be established. You know, we talked about only about 3% of the people who rose up and fought against the British, and that tax on tea was not very big. It was only like 2 or 3% itself. It was a very small tax. I've actually used this in commercials that we did for the Libertarian Party. You know, we talked about one of the things that we were able to do was to get them to at least pull back some on sales taxes on food in North Carolina. One of the things that we did, they were not talking about it until we started running our ads on cable. So we went out and we got a grocery store bag and put it on the kitchen counter in my home to do this cable commercial. And we said the American Revolution was fought over a 3% tax on tea. And if you have here in North Carolina, you've got an 8% tax on everything that you eat or drink. You know, government is revolting. Why aren't you? That type of thing, right? because they understood the principle. It wasn't that they couldn't afford the tax. They understood the principle was taxation without representation. We have that today with our bureaucracies. We also have regulation without representation. And the principle that is being established right now that people are fighting over is far more important than their jobs or the economy or the rest of it. This is the moment, as RFK Jr. would say, this is the moment. Today, you stand against this or you will be their slaves. It's just that simple. The precedent is very dangerous. The precedent is being established. And we've had a lot of precedents put in by President Trump and President Biden. They are rapidly transforming our society. There is a revolution that is going on right now. And you better be a part of it. You know, I've said many times, you may not be interested in politics, but politics is interested in you. And if you don't get involved in the revolution is going to run right over you because the revolution isn't coming from the grassroots right now. It may be building. But we've had a revolution for the last 597 days. It's been coming at us from the top down. These people have revolted against the Constitution. They revolted against the Bill of Rights. They revolted against God. They revolted against every moral, ethical, scientific principle. They have trashed science. We don't even have science anymore. These people talk about science. They don't want to show their data. Science is about empiricism. It's about comparing data. It's about debating the data. So they've destroyed science along with the rule of law and everything else. This is a revolution. These people are revolting. And you better stop this. You better stop their revolution. So in this Wichita, Kansas place, they have hired a Texas-based lawyer to assist employees and to prepare potential lawsuits against the companies should the requests for medical or religious exemptions to be vaccinated be denied. A lifelong Democrat in this story by Reuters, his name is Adams, he says, "I will no longer vote for Democrats, for that party." He said, "They will never get another vote from me. And I'm telling all the workers here the same thing. We will have to revolt against these people, and it's going to be far more than just with your vote." Under government regulations and guidance published on Monday, companies will have flexibility over how to implement the mandate. You see, as they've been going to the office of OMB and negotiating behind closed doors as to what they would like to do, guess what? They're not working in your behalf. You don't have these companies going up to Washington and saying, "You know, I've got these great employees by the thousands. They've been loyal to me. Many of them have worked decades for me. And I've been keeping them because I think they're good employees. I've been giving them raises and everything. And I don't want to have to fire these people." No, they're not saying that. They're saying, "How can you make this so that we don't lose more money?" That's all they're concerned about. These companies that are firing people are not companies that you really want to work for or invest any more of your time. The sooner we start creating our own society outside of these people, the better. For Boeing, they said more than 7,000 workers have applied for religious exemptions, and around 1,000 are seeking medical exemptions. That amounts to 6% of their workforce. At a rally last week outside a Boeing property in Auburn, south of Seattle, many of the 36 workers gathered in driving rain. They said they'd rather be escorted off of the Boeing property on December the 8th than to take a vaccine. Others said they would pursue early retirement. One veteran Boeing program analyst said the mandate is illegal, immoral, impractical. We are standing together against the company and against a government that is trampling on our rights. And I would have to say, it's not just the mandate, but it's also the Trump Kool-Aid. The Trump Kool-Aid is illegal. The Trump Kool-Aid is immoral. The Trump Kool-Aid is impractical. Everything about this, and with the Biden mandates as well. Many legal experts have said the vaccine mandates are in the interest of public health, and they are legal. Well, I just have to say again, if we have a government, if we have corporations, if we have a legal system that supports this, that government, those corporations, and that legal system must be altered or abolished. We have to declare our independence of this. We have a right and a duty to alter or to abolish any of these institutions that are going to seek to do this to us, each and every one of them. You know, when I was talking about what Trump said with Jeanine, one of the things he did, he didn't just, when she said about Fauci, "Well, you know, he's always been here. He's been here for 40 years, and I did oppose him." But you know what he did was he defended Fauci first. He said, "Well, it's not Fauci. It's Biden." What does that tell you? Fauci has loyally stood behind Fauci the entire time. He's given him the podium. He stood behind him even when at his rallies he would be overwhelmed by people chanting, "Fire Fauci, fire Fauci, fire Fauci." "Oh, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe after the election, if you elect me, maybe I will," or whatever. He had 2 months to fire Fauci. He didn't do it. He's still making excuses for Fauci. He's defending him. Going back to this, two Textron workers who requested religious exemption told Reuters the company's human resources representatives quizzed them on the name of their church leaders and detailed questions about their faith. See, here's another. Here's where you quiz them back. If they're going to challenge you on your religious beliefs, which they have no right to do, say to them, "Well, actually, you have no right to question my religious beliefs or to give me a religious litmus test in order to keep me employed. We've had a lot of laws that have decided that. But since you brought up religion and you're so keen to talk about it, let's talk about it a little bit. And get right back at them. Ask them if they believe there's a creator. If not, why not? Ask them if they believe the Bible is the creator talking to us. Ask them, if not, why not? If they won't answer all that stuff, say, well, I do believe there's a Bible. I do believe there's a God. I do believe the Bible is his communications to us. And say, I believe that you and I will stand before that God one day and we'll have to give an answer for what we've done in this life. What are you doing right now about this? You want to ask me about these religious leaders? Let me tell you something. When I stand before God, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask me, well, what did the Pope say? He's not going to ask me, what did Franklin Graham say, or Al Mohler, or Robert Jeffress, or Donald Trump? He's not going to say any of that stuff. He doesn't care. He's going to say, I gave you this information. What did you do with it? I gave you my son to provide a new start for you. I gave you my son out of an act of mercy, because out of justice I must punish sin. And you throw that away? You mock that? You make fun of it? I will give you my justice. That's what's going to happen. I would just get right back in there. I mean, if they're asking you questions like this, these people need to be confronted with the truth for their own good. I mean, this is not about proving them wrong. This is just about loving them, if you believe this is true. So, you know, engage. If they want to talk about religion, don't run away from it. Make it about that. What did Paul do when he was brought before these people? He didn't shy away from it. Well, you know, yeah, I really do like the Roman Empire and all that stuff, right? No. Raytheon, CEO, says, well, yeah, we're going to lose several thousand employees. That's too bad. Mercedes, here in the U.S., they had, even before this stuff came out, they had told the employees, you're going to get a vaccine. You're going to do it by January the 4th. They had their own agenda. Now, Trump moved that up a little bit. They say less than half of Mercedes workers at U.S. import processing centers are vaccinated. Many refused to get a shot. They said in a statement that it had given employees 90 days notice to fulfill the requirements. That's enough. And they said that 2/3 of their employees have gotten it if they exclude the factory workers in Alabama. Why would you exclude them? You going to build any cars if you fire your factory workers? How long is it going to take you to train them, their replacements? Is anybody going to want to work for you in Alabama if you're going to force them to take an experimental genetic code injection, some Kool-Aid that Trump pushed through without any testing? You think you're going to find some replacement people in Alabama? You've invested a lot of money in that factory. In the past, I've invested a lot of money in Mercedes. I haven't owned one for many years now, but I would, even if I could afford one, I wouldn't buy it at this point in time. The Marine Corps, of course, is saying by November 28th, you know, right after Thanksgiving, right about Thanksgiving, they're going to be kicking people out. You've got de Blasio throwing a temper tantrum with the city's union leaders. He says, this is downright unpatriotic to oppose my orders. No, patriotism is defying the orders of tyrants. That's what patriotism is by definition. It is resistance to tyranny. And as all of this is happening, and the entire world is committing murder and suicide, all these companies, all these governments are committing murder, suicide. What is happening with Pfizer? Yeah, that's right. Sponsored, this is all sponsored by Pfizer, because Pfizer is now saying they expect in 2021, 2022, that just their vaccine sales alone, I mean, that's not the only thing they sell. It's the only thing that Moderna sells, but Pfizer's got a lot of products. They were pretty big. They had sales of $9 billion. That's a big company. They had sales of $9 billion, but now they're looking at $65 billion from the vaccine alone. President Trump has minted a lot of new billionaires, nine as a matter of fact, nine new billionaires in these few pharmaceutical companies because of the amount of money that he threw at them. I mean, would there be article after article on Breitbart and InfoWars if this was something that a Democrat president had done? Oh, you better believe it is. But they don't want to criticize Trump for some of the most egregious corruption I've ever seen in my life. It is disgusting, the profits that are being made by Pfizer. And the political tyranny is disgusting as well. And so is the silence. The silence by the QAnon people, the silence by the Trump media. Pfizer is saying that it's looking to sign a lot more vaccine deals with countries. And, of course, you know, we're not allowed to see those. The people in the countries, the people of the European Parliament, you're not allowed to see what's in those vaccine deals. They are all redacted, completely blacked out. This is top secret stuff. This is national security stuff. You're not allowed to know what your governments do anymore. That is the essence of tyranny, the essence of corruption, to be able to hide things from people, to be able to gag people from speaking about the corruption and the evil and the lawlessness of their own government. That's where we are right now, everywhere, everywhere, in the West, everywhere, the U.S., all of us. So they said they have the capacity to produce 4 billion doses in 2022. They've already sold 1.7 billion doses. So when we look at the $65 billion, it could be twice as high as that. If they can get the governments to buy their products. How do they get the governments to buy their products? I can't imagine how they do that. It's all brought to you. The Republican Party brought to you by Pfizer. The Democrat Party brought to you by Pfizer. The Tory Party brought to you by Pfizer. The Liberal Democrats of Australia brought to you by Pfizer. Corporate sponsors. Buy the Kool-Aid and protect them from liability for killing people. That's what these, I mean, you better believe they're buying out these politicians. Pfizer said it expects to deliver at least 1 billion doses of its vaccine to low and middle income countries next year. The vaccine brought in sales of $13 billion in just the third quarter. Think about that. All of their combined sales, annual sales of all their products were $9 billion for the year. And one quarter, just the vaccines, gave them $13 billion. You know, these people are getting filthy rich, and it is a filthy business, isn't it? Beyond 2022, Pfizer said it expects the market for COVID vaccines to be durable and to continue generating sales for years to come. That's right. As Revelation says, the merchants, the great men of the earth, by their pharmakia, were all nations deceived by their pharmakia. Now, that was translated as sorcery, probably because, you know, hallucinogenic drugs were a big part of these pagan religions. But the word is pharmakia, from which we get pharmaceuticals, of course. And then you look at elsewhere in Revelation. I saw a white horse, and he who sat on it had a toxin, and a corona was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, of course, those two words, the toxin, that's a bow. The only time that Greek word is used in the New Testament is right there. But that word was used for a bow that was dipped, where the arrow was dipped in poison. Just like you can have a flaming arrow, you can have an arrow, a flaming arrow, you can have a poison arrow. That word toxin, T-O-X-O-N, eventually became toxin. And, of course, the word for he had a crown and he had, so you see it as he had a crown and a bow. Well, he had literally a toxin and a corona. And he went out conquering and to conquer. Isn't that interesting? As long as the government thinks they should be going along with mass vaccinations that they will buy and distribute, we will support them, he said. Oh, so this is being driven by the governments. We're just responding to what they want. We're not telling the governments. We're not paying the politicians to buy this stuff from us and to distribute it. And this is not support. The only way they're supporting these politicians is to pay them off behind closed doors. So they say U.S. regulators recently announced a round of booster doses for certain age and risk groups for Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. In the face of data that showed that protection can wane over time. Oh, yeah. So that's not a bug. That's a feature. Because, you know, if it doesn't last, if it doesn't work, well, you got to do it again. if you're stupid, if you're crazy, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, thinking that you're going to get different results. Well, here's the results that you're getting. In Brazil, this was sent to me by a listener, in Brazil, 32,000 dead in Brazil after the COVID shots. Over 32,000 people dead following the vaccines, according to official media. The reports in Brazil state that during a five-month period, over 32,000 people in Brazil have died following the injection. Currently in Brazil, the following vaccines are authorized for use: the AstraZeneca, the Pfizer, the CoronaVac, which is also called Sinovac, that's the one from China, the Johnson & Johnson, and the ButanVac. I don't know who makes that one. But interestingly enough, what's not on the list is Moderna. They didn't pay off the right people there. Despite these high amounts of death following vaccination, the media said, quote, vaccination is still the best way to control the disease. And so the listener who sent that to me says, yeah, well, you know, if killing people is controlling the disease, then it works. If that's the purpose, it works. Maybe that is the purpose, right? OSHA, again, as I said, on November the 1st, they completed their regulatory review, and they are pushing this out. The fines will hit up to $14,000 per violation. They want to make this much higher. This is under the emergency declaration, still pretending that this is an emergency. They're still pretending it's an emergency in Queensland, Australia, where they say there's not a single case. It is an emergency. How can it be an emergency? Just flat out lying. Bloomberg said the rule will give employers the option, this new rule that they have. So they went to Washington, the employers, and they negotiated this with them, a new rule. It'll let them make unvaccinated employees pay for the testing and the masks required by law. So that's what they do. They go there behind closed doors, they negotiate and say, you know, this is going to be really expensive for us. All right, we'll let you charge them for it. How about that? Oh, they've got your interest in mind, don't they? Yeah, they really care. Trump and the Democrats, Biden, all these people, they really care about you. They're there with these corporations, and they're figuring out, let's see, what can we do for power and for money and just throw these people under the bus. All right, so we can work this thing out. We'll agree if you want to, you can charge them for the tests. They said, after all, making a fallback route of weekly testing a financial burden for the employee would encourage more folks to take the vaccine pathway. The administration and the process would tamp down business opposition by delivering on a key industry ask, and that is to have some relief from being forced to shoulder the additional costs. Yeah, show me the money. So we're going to have a lot of pushback from the corporations, not because they want to save these people, but because, you know, if they make some exceptions for this, they're kind of up against the wall with this religious exemption thing. And they know they're going to be sued or whatever. So let's give them a little bit of negotiation. I'll tell you what, you can test people and we'll let you charge them for that if you want. They said we'll give employers the option of absorbing the testing costs if they're worried about losing workers. Oh, yeah. So now, look at this. It's going to be sold to you as a benefit. See, I'm a really nice employer. I'm going to pay for the test for you. Isn't that nice of me? I'll probably even give you some masks to smother you. But I'll pay for the test. You know, you won't even have to. Just let me jam these things up your nose. Don't worry about all those bristles that are being left behind in your flesh up your nose. The other company would charge you for this. Aren't you glad you work for me? And they wonder why there's a shortage of labor. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Apple is trying to adjust as this supply chains are dropping down. They're trying to adjust their production. So they're cutting their iPad production in half so they can use some of the chips in their new iPhone 13. Well, I just wonder, you know, who they're going to be selling that to if they're going to support everybody being fired, right? Unvaccinated Australians who were fired for opposing the vaccine are getting on social media and trying to network there. We'll see how long that lasts before they start shutting people down. You just need to meet together in person, and you got to do it in enough numbers that they can't stop you. That's what we saw in Melbourne over this last weekend. And the good news about that was the police stood by and stood down instead of attacking people. That's a first. And I played for you on Monday, that police officer standing up and turning around, not addressing the crowd, but addressing the cops behind him, and says, when you take off that uniform at night, you're one of us. And what you're going to be doing now is going to have consequences for the future. And what are you going to tell your kids? Are you going to be the private army for a madman? Because that's what we're really talking about here. Private armies for madmen. So in Australia, if you don't get the jab, they've got beauty therapists, childcare workers, disability support workers, accountants, all these 20,000 people already on one Facebook group for unvaccinated job seekers in Australia. One person says, I don't really have a lot of options. I was given a small business grant, which will see me through for another month, but there's no income. He owns a house with his partner, who also is set to lose her job. They're hoping that the mandate will be dropped. But that's the kind of choice that we're being forced with. But I'm telling you, folks, this is war. I know it's bad, but it's going to be much worse if we don't win this. It'd be much worse the longer this goes. It has to be stopped as soon as possible. It should have been stopped 597 days ago and any time in between, but it's got to be stopped now. The longer we go, the more pain it's going to be. We don't want this to get into a physical war. We don't want them to be sending troops around to round people up and put them into FEMA camps or whatever they want to call them. But we have to stand up to this. New South Wales is going to lift restrictions, but only for the vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, they're working on locking you up. We will be right back. Stay with us.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
I don't mind if you big, I don't mind if you small. My juice so magic, one size fits all.
I'm Big Farmer and I'm here for your health. Stop me, no harm, I just want to help. My juice is free for you, my friend, cause I know you'll be back again and again and again. I'm Big Farmer and I'm here for your help. Stop me, no harm, I just want to help. My juice is free for you, my friend, cause I know you'll be back again and again and again. Protecting you to death with their ungodly toxic potions. You are not their experiment. Resist. Do not comply. Rise up.
That's right. Big Pharma. And they're here to protect you. Let's take a look at the toxic medications. As a matter of fact, Ron Johnson to his credit, good for him for doing this. One of the most important things you can do is to shine the light on this corruption, on this filth and disease that is being inflicted upon us. And that's exactly what Ron Johnson did yesterday. I want to play for you a couple of people who spoke at that hearing about what they had seen. First one is a father, and you have seen him before. You've heard him before. But I want you to hear some of his testimony yesterday. Very, very touching. A father whose son got the injection and died shortly after.
I was a father of a 16-year-old son, a single parent. I raised my boy since he was a baby. He meant the world to me. I got the vaccine to protect my son. And after in March, April, they're announcing how it was safe for teenagers. Me and my son have never been apart. We're always together. He was my best friend. I always told him it was me and you against the world. He joined ROTC in high school. He was always full of smiles. Anybody that knew my son would see he was happy. I wasn't rich, but I gave him everything he wanted. We didn't lack for anything. We used to go fishing, camping, do everything. We got the Pfizer vaccine because I thought it was to protect him. I thought it was the right thing to do. It was like playing Russian roulette. My government lied to me. They said it was safe. Next week is his birthday. You know where I better celebrate his birthday at? While everybody, once we leave here, they're going to forget about what we're doing or what they talk about, what we said here. They're going to be enjoying time with their family and kids. Thanksgiving, I'm going to spend at the cemetery. Christmas, at that cemetery. They need to quit pushing this on their children. I lost mine. Y'all need to protect yours. They're trying to target the 5 to 12-year-olds. We're going to have more deaths in our hands than they plan. And they say it's worth the risk. It wasn't worth the risk.
No, it's not. Actually, they had no risk. They had no risk. You have Rochelle Lewinsky at the CDC saying today is a monumental day in the course of this pandemic, one that many of us have been very eager to see. For almost 2 full years, schools have been fundamentally changed. There have been children in second grade who have never experienced a normal school year. And so now they've approved the vaccine, officially recommending the Pfizer vaccine for 5 years old and up. This is just beyond characterization. What these people are doing is just unbelievable. This was sent to me by a listener who did the one on the precious, right? but this one, there's Gollum with the precious that they worship. This one shows a patient, shows a nurse instead of a vaccine, got a pistol pointed at the person's arm for that kind of shot. Because this really is about playing roulette with people's lives. As I pointed out, you got 5% of the batches that are out there that are responsible for 100% of the deaths based on the VAERS data. Because when they put the death reports up, they put them down by lot. And so you had a person go through and look at the data and said, look at this. Well, it's all just from a small percentage of these. Isn't that interesting? I think it's very interesting what is happening with this. You can speculate as to why this is, but the biggest speculation should be, why isn't the FDA stopping this? Again, you got two people who died from an air freshener that's being sold by Walmart that's contaminated with a very, very rare bacteria, Burkholderia pseudomallei, that they were experimenting on a few years ago, the CDC was, with gain of function. Somehow now it's showing up in these products. But they had two people die. They shut it down across the country, the sale of it. But, you know, you have 20,000 people who die from the vaccine in a short period of time. We're not going to do anything about that. We'll just say that's rare. Well, I don't know, but last time I looked, I think two flights out of 8,600 Boeing 737 MAXs that crashed, I think you could say that was rare. But I think the government did the right thing to shut it down, so we're going to look at the design of it. I think it's rare when you've got just two people who died from something across the entire country and you pull them all out, and they've done that over and over again with contaminated food, the same FDA. Contaminated food, we're going to shut it down, we're going to recall all this, whether it's ice cream or spinach or whatever, they shut it all down, they recall it, but not this stuff. No, no, no. Not the precious. This is their ticket. This is their ticket to unlimited power and unlimited profits. Let's take a look at another testimony from the Ron Johnson meeting yesterday. This is coming from the Navy doctor, Theresa Long, who's already paid a price for telling people the truth.
With respect to aviation safety, risk communication is critical. I saw five patients in clinic, two of which presented with chest pain days to weeks after vaccination and were subsequently diagnosed with pericarditis and worked up to rule out myocarditis. The third pilot had been vaccinated and felt like he was drunk, chronically fatigued within 24 hours after vaccination. The pilot told me he didn't know what to do, so he drank a lot of coffee to try and, quote, wake himself up, and continued to fly until he realized it wasn't going away. After I reported to my command my concerns that in one morning I had to ground 3 out of 3 pilots due to vaccine injuries, the next day my patients were canceled, my charts were pulled for review, and I was told that I would not be seeing acute patients anymore, just healthy pilots there for their flight physical.
Yeah. We must see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil about these toxic medications, about the precious. Oh, do not criticize the precious. It's an obsession, isn't it? Speaking of obsessions, this out of Melbourne, Victoria. This is a father who goes on social media talking about how he is determined to vaccinate his 9-year-old son even after his 14-year-old son developed heart inflammation and heart issues. And this guy clearly has no idea what is going on. As I have interviewed doctors who point out that when you have heart issues, the body does not regenerate those cells. Those are going to stay with you your entire life. Why would you do that to young, healthy people? Why would you take that risk? Especially when you have another son that's already happened to. Father's determined that his 9-year-old child gets vaccinated despite his 14-year-old son developing heart inflammation following his second Pfizer dose. The father said his son had received his second dose October the 24th. He experienced dizziness, slight headache later that night. By Wednesday morning, he was complaining of shortness of breath, of chest and back pain. I mean, think about this. When in history have we ever had a situation where you've got medication that is giving children heart attacks and you just brush it off as not important? This is how thoroughly mind-controlled the public has become, how thoroughly gaslighted, how thoroughly OCD, obsessive-compulsive, they have become about this so-called pandemic. I just read to you, NPR now admitting, yeah, you know, last year we didn't have anybody in the emergency rooms, but this year is all full up. Finally, they tell you the truth after 600 days of lying to you. So he's complaining of shortness of breath, of chest and back pain. He's having a heart attack. Mild heart attack. I know, had it. He was admitted to the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne later that same day, diagnosed with inflammation of the heart. But he goes on to post on social media, get your kids vaccinated if you can. These side effects are rare and manageable. Yeah, there you go. See, there's only one chance in six, you know, that bullet's going to go right through your body, right? So, you know, just roll the dice. Spend the chambers. Not a problem. Help protect us all, he says. When would you have a situation where I guarantee you, this is the kind of father who, if he'd had his 14-year-old son shot in a drive-by shooting, he'd be screaming and demanding that all guns be taken away. But he'll play Russian roulette now with his 9-year-old son, even after his 14-year-old son has been shot with the Trump Kool-Aid. And he ends it by saying, help protect us all. Hashtag COVID vaccine. It doesn't protect anybody. I mean, they're not even listening anymore. That's the amazing thing about it. They can tell you the lies and they can create a perception in your mind, and then they can come back, like Walensky is saying about the, before she talked about how monumental it was that they could inject 5-year-olds with a toxin genetic code injection. She can say, yeah, it doesn't do anything to affect transmission. It's totally not a factor in terms of people being exposed to vaccinated versus unvaccinated. They can now come back and tell you that. NPR can now come back and tell you that, yeah, the emergency rooms weren't full. We lied to you last year. Yeah, we lied to you. We said that the vaccine was going to keep the thing from spreading, but now we're telling you the truth. Now we're telling you there's no difference in transmission. Even after they tell people that, people still are going with the original lie. They want to believe that. They've invested so much in that that even after NPR comes back and says the emergency rooms and hospitals were empty last year, and after the CDC comes back and says the vaccination status is irrelevant in terms of transmission, they still want everybody vaccinated, you know, because we got to protect everybody. And then when he was contacted by the news in Melbourne, this father said he's had one of these side effects, which is well managed, well known, well understood. Not by you, sir. Not by you. And it's a shame. I mean, we can't, you know, parents who are taking their kids to drag queen story time hours and the rest of this stuff, it's crushing to see this type of thing happening. This story from the Austin Statesman, I think it was put up on the Drudge Report. Fact check, are COVID-19 vaccines not advertised on TV because of the side effects? Listen to the way they try to fact check this. They say, Big Pharma seems to be on TV all the time, advertising prescription medicines with 3 or 4 syllable names for treating all sorts of problems, large and small. You know the audience that they're talking to here, right? These are people who have the mentality of a 7-year-old. There have been many public service TV ads promoting vaccination generally, but one Instagram post claims that the drug makers aren't doing TV ads for their own COVID-19 vaccines because they would have to list the possible side effects. Yes, that is a requirement of law. And you're not seeing those. Instead, you're seeing the type of commercial, I won't play it for you again, but, you know, brought to you by Pfizer, such and such a program, brought to you by Pfizer. Their suggestion here is, they said, well, the actual reason is that the FDA rules prohibit advertising of drugs that have not been fully approved by the FDA. And only one COVID vaccine, Pfizer, has been approved. And that didn't occur until August. This is written in November. So what have they been doing for the last 3 months? I mean, Pfizer, it's Pfizer that's been bringing you all these programs, right? It's Pfizer that's evidently got a deal with Stephen Colbert so that he can, you know, have the little dancing pricks everywhere. But the fact that they're not doing it after 3 months, they say, well, it's not true because, you know, they're not allowed to do it unless it's approved. But it was approved. They even admit that it was approved 3 months ago. So much to see. So much to see that nobody wants to see. Falsified data. Pfizer vaccine trial had major flaws, says a whistleblower, and tells us to a peer-reviewed journal. Now, I pointed out yesterday that out of this advisory panel of 17 people who said, yeah, we should give it to kids, every single one of them had Pfizer connections. Every single one of them except one had major financial interests in working for Pfizer. They had conflicts of interests. And now we have a whistleblower involved in the vaccine trial has leaked evidence to a peer-reviewed medical publication that the poor practices that she worked at raised questions about data integrity and regulatory oversight. Her name is Jackson. She's a trained clinical trial auditor, more than 15 years experience. She says she repeatedly warned her superiors of poor laboratory management. I mean, go back and look at the whistleblower that talked to Project Veritas. She was working on manufacturing. And she said, when the FDA comes in, they had us put up all this stuff to cover up what they were doing. You know, we had to put like construction paper and things like that in the areas that are all have windows in them so they couldn't see what we're doing. It's like, and that doesn't raise any red flags with the FDA? You know, the only time I've seen anything like that was when we went to Copenhagen to report on Bilderberg, and we got there a day early. And that day, and we had unprecedented, and hasn't been that way before or since, the ability in Copenhagen in Denmark, they didn't have a way to keep these people shielded from the press. I mean, they were just right across the street from them. And we were right up to the edge of the building. Typically, they've got it in a long, you know, remote area with lots of police between you and them, lots of visual obstruction with trees and other natural boundaries and everything. But we were right there. And that day beforehand, we were walking around right around the building because it wasn't blocked off yet. And we could see that they were putting dark reflective film on the windows the day before all the very important persons were being coming in. And that's what they were doing in the Pfizer factory for the FDA to come in. No, you're not allowed to see. Not suspicious at all, is it? They redact the rooms just like they redact their government documents so that even the members of the European Parliament are not allowed to see them. So Jackson is a trained clinical trial auditor. She said she repeatedly warned her superiors of poor laboratory management and patient safety concerns and data integrity issues. After she was ignored, she started documenting problems with the camera on her mobile phone. One photo provided to the BMJ showed needles discarded in a plastic biohazard bag instead of a surplus container box. Another showed vaccine packaging materials with trial participants' identification numbers written on them left out in the open, potentially unblinding participants. Well, I mean, we've had something far worse than this from the very beginning. They ran these trials because of Trump's demands. They ran these trials for just a couple of months. And then they said, well, because COVID is so dangerous, they unblinded the study, and they told the people who weren't supposed to, you know, you have a double-blind study. That means that the patients don't know who's getting a placebo and who's getting the actual thing. And then you have the people who are actually administering it don't know who's getting the placebo and who's getting the actual drug that you're testing. And so they broke that, and they told the people who were getting the placebo, you've been getting the placebo. Would you like to get the actual injection? And so they basically destroyed the control group. And she's saying here that they were doing everything they could to destroy the control group. It's almost like they don't want people to know, isn't it? She recorded a September 2020 meeting with two directors at which the executive can be heard saying that the company couldn't quantify the types and the numbers of errors with their testing. She said, in my mind, it's something new every day. And we know that it's significant what is happening here. The expectation for this study is that all queries are addressed within 24 hours, said Pfizer's partner Icon. Icon then highlighted over 100 outstanding queries that were older than 3 days in yellow. Examples included two individuals for which the subject has reported severe symptoms and reactions. So we don't want to see that. Put that away. Per protocol, subjects experiencing grade 3 local reactions should be contacted. Please confirm if an unplanned contact was made and update the corresponding form as appropriate. I mean, they're not even pretending to do any of this. And the FDA inspectors are coming in, and they're giving them a pass as well. Again, we saw that 100% of the deaths are coming from 5% of the batches. And this is not just Pfizer, by the way. So this is why I suspect that it's perhaps something more than just sloppy manufacturing, because why would that be true of both Pfizer and Moderna? That's limited to certain batches. In Peru and the Amazon, they took their vaccines. You know, again, this is Immunization Agenda 2030, Bill Gates' idea that everyone, everywhere, every age gets vaccinated. That means even the people in the Amazon who haven't had contact with people for decades. Decades. So they grab their toxins. They grab their Trump Kool-Aid. They grab their poison, their genetic code injections, and they jump on a boat and go down the Amazon to this tribe And as they do, they say the tribe is now sick. Must be COVID. It's not the vaccines. No, it's not the vaccines. Not at all. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, let's talk about the New World Orders, about the tyranny side of this. We've been talking about the toxic side of these genetic code injections. And again, as we see the intentional destruction of supply chains, and that includes food supply, what is happening in China, they sparked panic buying after they put out on their the government's Weibo account, or Weibo, however that's pronounced, they put this message out. The Ministry of Commerce encourages households to stockpile daily necessities as needed, unquote. It had more than 17 million views as of Tuesday. And they said as soon as this one person on Weibo said, as soon as this news came out, all the old people near me went crazy, panic buying in the supermarket. I can only imagine what that's like. I've never seen more crowded stores on normal circumstances than what we saw when we were in China. We were there, had to stay there for a while after we adopted my daughter. They have like a waiting period before you can leave the country. And, so we were buying things for her, going to Walmart. And I've never seen anything like, so I can imagine what it is when everybody gets panicked by a government pronouncement like that. But these are also the old people. Why are they panicking? Because the old people have seen this before. They've seen their government deliberately starve people as they tried to reset society. They called it the Great Leap Forward. We call it the Great Reset today. We call it the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainability today. The only thing they're concerned about sustaining is their power and their dystopian dictatorship. Central planners are at it again, says Zero Hedge. In September, China ordered the country's top state-owned energy companies to secure supplies of the winter at all costs. And now they're telling households to stockpile food ahead of winter. According to Bloomberg, the Ministry of Commerce told households on Monday to stock up on food in case of emergency. And the Commerce Ministry directive is similar to the one released ahead of the holidays at the start of October, which told governments to secure food supplies. So are they trying to panic people? Are they going to force people to lock down? I mean, it's not just Mao who did this. It was Stalin who did it as well. The Holodomor, when you starve the actual bread basket of the Soviet Union, where most of the food was in Ukraine, that's where they starved people. It was about politics. This is about politics. Temperatures across China are plunging. The power crisis is worsening as demand for electricity generation ticks higher, straining coal supplies. Power is being rationed across 20 provinces and regions that make up more than 66% of the country's GDP. What that means is that since we have been engineered by these multinational corporations and our open border governments into being dependent upon China, that means that these shortages are going to be headed our way as well. And we don't even have the ability, not only do we not have the ability to do things for ourselves anymore because we've been so eviscerated, pacified with all this transfer of manufacturing, we can't even unload the stuff we're buying from China. That's how pathetic things are here in America. So you better start preparing. And that's one of the reasons why I think that that bill that happened in Maine is so extremely important. And you don't have time in your area to have a constitutional amendment that is going to protect that. So you better make sure that that is protected by the people in your community. If you can get some politicians in your community to stand with you, if you can get the town council, the mayor, the sheriff, oh, that's great. But you better start building a network of people in your area who are all going to stand together for growing food. Better start thinking about that. Extreme weather in early October also destroyed crops in Shandong, the country's largest vegetable growing region. See, it's like the Ukraine. This is their breadbasket, except I guess you could say it's their vegetable basket, their cornucopia, because, you know, at the end of October, they had shortages in broccoli, cucumber, spinach, you know, the same type of stuff that your parents, if you're my age, were telling you, eat your broccoli because people are starving in China. Well, now the people in China don't have broccoli again. all of this will reinforce what we've said. This is a Zero Hedge. That we've laid out the entire year that global food prices will remain at record highs. If this winter is exceptionally severe in the Northern Hemisphere, there could be worldwide shortage of certain foods. China is being proactive in supply chain management, or should say mismanagement. So what does this mean for the average American? Well, it's probably time to stock up as well. This letter from a listener is about an analysis of inflation. The article comes from Vitaly Katzenelson's Contrarian Edge. It's marketwatch.com that has the story. And the comment from the listener, Rolf says, when they say that inflation is caused by too much money chasing too few goods, don't they mean printing too much money? Because that is really what is happening, is too much money has been printed. And, of course, there is a chasing that is going on. The article from MarketWatch says it is a perfect storm of inflation in the U.S. Perfect storms are generated from seemingly small factors, all of them coming together on their own. Each may not be particularly significant, but when they come together, it creates the perfect storm. So they say during the mandated pandemic shutdowns, the U.S. government dropped money on anybody who could fog a mirror. Boy, isn't that true. Hey, free money for everybody. Parachute the cash, especially for you big pharmaceutical companies. And, of course, you're free from liability. You're even free from having to deliver it. We'll do that with the military for you. So, yeah, free money for everybody. Free money for the governors, free money for the hospitals, and even a little bit for you, just to keep you quiet. This happened while and because big parts of the economy that are normally large cost items in consumer budgets, things like travel, entertainment, restaurants, those were all shut down. And so when your income doesn't change, or it arguably increases a little bit, and your expenses decline, your savings grow. And so pockets that were stuffed with cash suddenly resulted in a healthy demand in the U.S. economy when it reopened to some degree. Consumer savings were also helped by the freeze on student loan payments and on the eviction moratorium. But we sowed a bubble that is going to come back, and now you see people are getting evicted now. Because they have gotten behind on the payments, because they had tenants who did not pay them and they couldn't pay for their mortgage. That was the whole purpose of this. And I said it from the very beginning when it happened in October of 2020 under Trump, when Trump allowed them to extend it once. And of course, under Biden, it was extended two or three times under Brett Cave in all things. He let them extended another couple of months. He said, yeah, they don't have the legal authority to do it, but they said they're going to stop. And so he said, I'll let them do it until they're ready to stop. And they weren't ready to stop. And so then 2 months later, he came back and changed his vote. But whatever. So what is happening with the too few goods that are being chased by all this money? And he talks a little bit about the shipping situation. I think this is key to try to understand what is happening, to see who is really doing this to us and what is really ultimately behind this. I've shown you the reports of the truck drivers who are sitting there forced to sit there all day at the port with their motors idling. They said, we've watched these cranes here, and they haven't moved all day. So what is happening with that? This is his take on it. He said, shipping containers are one of the most important technological inventions of the 20th century. Their standardized size allows goods to move effortlessly on different modes of transportation, trucks, trains, ships, across the world. There is a container shortage in the U.S. today. Why? Well, there's many reasons. As U.S. production shut down during the pandemic and the Chinese economy was humming, and let's see, why did it shut down? Oh, that's right. We had an executive order, and then you had public health agencies that were out of control, governors that were out of control, and a federal government that was under the control of Fauci. Americans were consuming goods but not sending anything back to China. So you had a lot of containers that got stuck at U.S. ports. That was just the beginning. Now containers are stuck at their end destinations due to a shortage of truck drivers. Ports are slow to unload ships due to labor shortages, work disruption due to COVID, and to equipment shortage. Ships loaded with containers are waiting to be unloaded, and this leads to even more container shortage, effectively taking supply out of the market. Companies are suffering from inventory shortages, are in turn hoarding containers to store extra inventory. This new normal will accelerate the future, he says. See? That's what it was intended to do, of course. That's the whole point. The whole point of this crisis is to accelerate us into the society that they've been planning and boasting about being in place by 2030. As part of the fourth turning, part of the fourth industrial revolution. So it has accelerated the future. We'll work from home more. We'll go to the office less. We'll order more things online. We'll have leisure travel. Won't change too much, or maybe it will. But business travel will compete with Zoom. Inventories will be a little bit less just in time. Longer term, the present labor shortage will likely result in more automation. That was the plan all along. How do we kick these people out of their jobs without them coming after us with guillotines, said Bloomberg when he was running for president. And the takeaway that you were told from from Breitbart and everybody else would say, look at that, he just insulted the farmers. Well, yes, he did. And he insulted everybody else because he said, we're ready to slit your throat and we're going to try to make sure that you're going to be too happy and stupid to realize what's happening so you don't come after us. Anyway, it'll be more automation because equipment never sleeps. It never talks politics at the office. It never asks for a raise or for health care benefits, and that's where they always wanted to go. It was just a way to have an excuse so they could say, it's not us that's doing this, right? It was a virus. We had to fire people. And then they wouldn't take the vaccine, so we had to fire people. And then you're afraid to get in contact with humans, so we had to put in the machines because nobody wants to be around a human anymore. And, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that we can run a machine more cheaply than we can you. It's not our fault. We're just reacting to circumstances. Plausible deniability. The one disruption, he says, that really puzzles me is a labor shortage. This is kind of interesting what this guy says, because I don't think it's very puzzling at all. He says millions of U.S. jobs are unfilled. I hear stories about Starbucks stores being closed due to a lack of workers. Every service has a labor component has gotten worse. Whether it's restaurants or ride sharing or pharmacies, people were being paid not to work. Yet I would have thought that after the payment stopped, they'd return to work. But this hasn't happened. Why is that? Could it be that they're forcing you to get masks, that they're forcing you to get jabs? I mean, why would you want to continue to work in an environment like this where you're treated worse than a robot? A robot, by the way, is a Czech word for slave. There are other theories. Maybe it's early retirement by baby boomers. Maybe it's newly minted Bitcoin millionaires who don't want to work. I don't think that's the case, quite frankly. I don't think you got a labor shortage where they're shutting down McDonald's because all the McDonald's employees Bitcoins became millionaires? I mean, seriously? You think the people that are working at McDonald's are playing the Bitcoin thing? I don't think so. Folks who sold expensive houses and bought cheaper ones are sitting on a comfortable nest egg. Well, they got to live somewhere. I don't think that's an issue either. I mean, early retirement, yeah, a lot of people are going to take early retirement rather than have a genetic code injection be forced upon them. But I don't think these other things are an issue. I think it is simply the fact that people are starting to, they understand what this is. They're not going to go with this. They're not going to go with the precedent of it. They're tired of being abused by these employers. These employers don't respect people or they wouldn't be requiring these jabs. Michael Every, article on Zero Hedge, says, no trucking way. He looks at the trucks. He says, so what's going on with the trucks? You know, this other guy looked at the containers, and that's only a part of the problem. One person, he says, let me show you some quotes from an article exposing this. The article says, there is no trucking way. We are about to return to normal. Think of going to the port as going to Walmart on a Black Friday, but imagine that there's only one cashier for thousands of customers. Been there, done that. I remember when we had snow days at the video store. We were having trouble getting employees in, but everybody else in the neighborhood walked to the store, and it was, you know, the line was around the block. So, yeah, I've been there. It's good for us, not good for the customers. Most port drivers are independent contractors. They're leased onto a carrier who is paying them by the load. Whether their load takes 2 hours or 14 hours or 3 days to complete, they get paid the same amount of money. And they have to pay 90% of their truck operating expenses. I honestly don't understand how many of them can even afford to show up for work. In some cases, they work 70-hour weeks, and they still end up owing money to the carrier. Isn't that awful? I mean, do we really want to have a system like this? I mean, this is what we're talking about. Well, Tennessee Ernie Ford loads 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company trucking carrier. Now, I'm loading 16 tons, but it's taking me so long to do this, I can't make any money. And again, you know, every time you have a situation like this where you have these entrenched interests that have set up a monopoly for themselves, they're going to do this because they want to exploit people. And that's what we're seeing now everywhere. We have everywhere you look, there's one or two companies that own everything. And I mean everything. So when the postal ports start getting clogged up last spring due to the impacts of business everywhere, the so-called COVID pandemic again, yeah, just plausible deniability. When that happened, drivers started refusing to show up. Congestion got so bad that instead of being able to do 3 loads a day, they could only do one. So they took a 2/3 pay cut, and most of these drivers are still working 12 hours a day or more. Many drivers just simply quit. However, while the pickup rate for containers severely decreased, they were still being offloaded from the boats, and it's only gotten worse. The experts, quote-unquote, want to say that we can do things like open up the ports 24-7, and this problem will be over in a couple of weeks. That's what you've heard from expert Biden. He's not expert on anything except taking people's freedom. They're blowing smoke and they know it. So Michael Every goes on to say, well, the author of this article points out that a crippling shortage of truck chassis of warehouse workers, again, due to low pay and these new imposed working conditions. So you got unloading that is taking longer. He says that ocean carriers, ports, trucking companies, warehouses, and retailers are all making great money. So they're not going to invest anymore in this system until it collapses further. The people who are getting screwed in all this are the truck drivers. And he says, this reminds me of a classic Soviet joke. It's winter in a rural town in the 1970s USSR. The town radio crackles, "All comrades, please come to the town square to receive a ration of fresh red meat." So the people gather hungrily, and the radio continues, "Please wait to receive your ration from the glorious Soviet system." After an hour of standing in the deep cold, the radio comes out and says, "We regret there's not as much meat as we had expected. All Jews go home now." 1/3 of the town trudges off, After another bitter hour in the cold, the radio says, "We regret there's not as much meat as we had expected. All non-party members go home now." After a third walk-off and another 2 hours of standing in the freezing cold, the radio says, "We regret there's no meat today at all. Go home now. Glory to the Soviet Union." As people are leaving, one man turns to another and says, "Why do the Jews always get the preferential treatment?" They didn't stand there for 5 hours in the cold. "For years, I have quipped," says this writer, "that just as the USSR wrestled with its self-admitted structural problems, yet always ended up building another statue of Marx or of Lenin, it was a kicking the can down the road compromise. And so neoliberalism says build back better, and they build another skyscraper, a Pluto flat, or a business park, or they build some more toll roads," right? That's the other thing there. Or maybe instead of building even a toll road, they tear down some overpasses. You know, because those overpasses that we had, they bypassed a city so we wouldn't run a lot of traffic through their neighborhood. And that was racist. We were bypassing a city. So let's just tear down these roads. Let's put the roads on a diet. Let's calm them down. Let's put obstructions in them. Let's narrow them. Let's even tear them down. Yeah, that's what our Soviets want to do. He said the Soviets did that for a while they were still not able to feed their people, by the way, because, see, feeding people, looking after and protecting your liberties is the very last thing they want to do. Taking your liberty, taking away your food, those are the ways that they control you. And we have a Soviet system right now. I mean, we literally have people being put forward in the Biden administration, his control of the currency. You know, I went to graduated just as the Soviet Union was falling, did theses on these communist heroes and so forth. I mean, that's the kind of people. We literally are being run by communists, and they are doing exactly the same stuff. Not exactly. It rhymes, right? So they'll change it a little bit. Instead of making it about class warfare, economic class warfare, they'll make it about skin color, that type of thing. So the California Trucking Association has a lawsuit going on about these AB5 regulations. And see, there's two things that are happening there in California. This is very important because most of the stuff that we get in this country is coming from China. China, which, by the way, now is rationing energy and production. So you know it's coming here, right? It's coming here. And so it's not only the fact that they don't have enough coal, because they're allowed to use coal, but they don't have enough of it. And they don't have enough electricity to keep their people warm. They don't have enough energy to grow food, because, you see, food is rather energy is not simply about having a better lifestyle. It's about life expectancy. You need to have the ability to grow food, to create fertilizers, to transport the food, or you're going to starve. And that's what the energy is about. And these people have been focused. At the same time, they're saying we've got too many people and we've got to reduce the population. They're focused on getting rid of what we need to grow food, to transport food. It's not really complicated. It's not rocket science. And so you got both DeSantis in Florida as well as Abbott in Texas saying, come on and use our ports. Well, the problem is they can't because they're coming from the West Coast. They have to go through the Panama Canal, or they got to go around the Cape down in South America or something like that. But, you know, you've got the governors are saying it'll still be faster than if you sit out there and wait to try to get through California. But I don't know if that's practical or not. California is the bottleneck. It's the California ports. And a lot of people have said that it is the laws in California. So you've got several stories that are being put out there by the mainstream media to try to defend California's indefensible licensing laws and restrictions. Because, again, every time you make a restriction, it's going to restrict the flow of goods and services. It's going to restrict what people are able to do. It's just that simple. Again, it's not that complicated to say if you're going to restrict stuff, you're going to have less of what you're restricting. And that's what they're doing in California. The California Trucking Association has a case against California's restrictive AB5 independent contractor law. It is still pending before the Supreme Court. On Tuesday, Reuters claimed that the Supreme Court had denied the petition being heard that would challenge this, but that's still not clear, even though they reported it, other people say they don't think that's the case. The Supreme Court denied hearing a case from a drayage carrier, Cal Cartage, which was limited to the carrier's ability to use independent contractors. They said when the California Trucking Association was reached, they said, quote, the contributions of California's 70,000 independent truckers have been vital to keeping the U.S. afloat during the supply chain crisis. They deserve their day in court, and we are hopeful that the U.S. Supreme Court will grant the petition to hear this case. If SCOTUS chooses to hear the case, the injunction currently in place exempting trucking from AB 5 will be stayed until they decide the case. But if they decline to hear it, then the injunction will be lifted immediately, and it will have even more wrecking effects on our supply chain. So, as I said, mainstream media is pushing back hard on this and trying to say that the backlog is not caused by trucking regulations. But just take a look at some of these regulations they have. The backlog is centered around California ports, the Port of L.A., the Port of Long Beach. In a post, a person claimed that California regulations, namely a ban on older trucks and a law that is expected to restrict owner-operator truck drivers, share some of the blame for the shipping backlog. But, of course, the mainstream media says no. Now, let me ask you, if you're an independent trucker and you have to buy a new truck in order for you to pick stuff up because of a new law, well, then does that restrict your being able to do business? Does that mean that we're going to have fewer truckers? Well, of course. And if they make restrictions about people being independent truckers, of course that's going to have a problem on it. Again, have a problem even as we have a shortage, whether it's a shortage of people in the military, shortage of people in the police or the fire departments or the nurses in the hospitals or the truckers. Right? What is the answer to government at every level with these Democrats? That is to fire more of them. And again, what are the Republicans doing? They're standing by passively just like Trump did while Fauci ruled the world. It's not a good situation. That's why you've got to start working locally. The other regulation is the California Air and Resource Board rule. That's CARB. The CARB rules, they have rules about a lot of things. I know when I try to get parts for my car, you know, well, I can't get this because there's a CARB prohibition on it. It's like, well, I don't live in California, but it's such a so much demand in California that they restrict things like, aftermarket modifications to your car. Well, it's restricted because of CARB rules. It's like, eh. Anyway, CARB rules require truck engines to be 2005 or newer as of this year. So it's something that just went into effect this year. And when did we have these kinds of crises? Did we have it last year? No. We had the lockdown last year, and we're getting all of our stuff from China because they weren't locked down like we were under Trump and Fauci. But this year, when the California rule kicks in, then we see that these people, they don't have a brand new truck. They can't pick up stuff at the port. Now they say they got a shortage of truck drivers. No, what we have is an excess of regulations. I just look at the timing with this. So I said, the mainstream media will tell you, well, it's not necessarily a shortage of drivers. It's a shortage of equipment and then a lack of productivity. Oh, yeah. Trying to pass the buck while we keep passing more and more regulations. I want you to take a look. I played this last week, a clip from New Zealand's Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. And in it, she could not conceal the glee that she had exercising the kind of power, dictatorial, arbitrary power that she has over people's life. She's looking at it, she's real cocky. This person says, well, you know, don't you think that, what you're doing is you're forcing people out of their jobs unnecessarily? Yeah, that's exactly what we are doing. I want you to hear this. She's giving a press conference, and some person who is there starts, she's talking about how wonderful vaccines are, and we're going to drive more vaccines. And we're all on the same page, and this person is not on the same page. I want you to hear and see what happens.
And what I'd say is that we're all actually completely on the same page when it comes to driving vaccinations and making sure that we're doing everything that we can to reach people that we need to. This is an issue of...
In Israel.
This is an issue...
Not working in Israel.
Sir, I'm going to ask...
As a 39% efficacy...
I'm going to answer the questions...
Still pushing it.
...of the accredited media.
Virus, also in the UK...
Sir, I will shut down the press conference if you do not cease.
It's rude to lie...
Sorry, to our accredited members of the gallery here... We might move to an inside venue. Unfortunately, we've got someone who's disrupting your press conference.
Too. Oh, yes.
So we might reconvene.
Yes, this is a unilateral propaganda. We don't want any questions. We don't want any countering of this. Oh, yes, we're all on the same page. We have to drive vaccinations. And he goes, well, when it comes to this, he says, we've got a 39% efficacy rate in Israel. Why are you still pushing this? Look at this is happening out of the UK as well. Yeah, she is an ardent liar, isn't she? And just amazing, the arrogance. And the tyranny. And so she did shut down the press conference, and she did go inside with the accredited media, because no one is allowed to ask any questions. This is a hallmark of a dictatorship. And again, this goes back to social media, goes back to the censorship, going back to 2018. Something should have been done about it. This is a worldwide problem, but this is indicative of the way tyrants rule. Also in Australia, this is sent to me by someone said, you'll find this very interesting. Most non-mainstream media outlets to date have not found this full source here. This is post that is on Instagram. And it says, to all the leaders, it is time to practice what we preach. It's time to unite, to come together with the power we hold as people, and to regain our country. There is no more time. It is now or never. And so we're calling you all to come together, and we need all of us to do this, not just one group here and there, but all of us. So to the people, to our followers, join forces with the groups that inspire you so that we can all take action as a collective. That's exactly what is happening. And as we look at this tyranny rolling out around the world, look at this story. A Kentucky man challenges the federal mask mandate by filing a lawsuit. And then 2 days later, after he filed the lawsuit on October the 19th, on October the 21st, he could not check in to his flight home from Southern California. The guy is a helicopter mechanic. He went to California for a job. His name is Michael Ferris. He filed a motion with the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And so he goes to California to do this. He should be considered medically exempt from the mask requirements. And the federal regulations do allow for medical exemptions, but he hasn't been able to get that exemption from any airline. So he filed a lawsuit 2 days later after he filed the lawsuit, and he's ready to come home from California, go back to Kentucky on a United Airlines flight. He was he got a lot of hassle. He was eventually issued an SSSS boarding pass. They don't even try to change the name, do they? They just double up on the tyranny. So it's not just the SS, it's the SSSS. I tell you, Hans, are we the baddies? agents told Ferris this meant that he had been placed on a terrorist watch list. You know, you got to have the, if you're on a terrorist watch list, you get the SSSS. So he's a helicopter maintenance supervisor. When he went to the United kiosk at the Ontario Airport in California, Ontario, California, it displayed a message. Please collect the printed document and see a United representative for further assistance. Oh, they're going to assist him. after a very long time at the United desk, during which a TSA officer responded to the counter, so they kind of stall him until a TSA officer can get there. He was then escorted to the security checkpoint where he showed his mask exemption letter to his from his physician. TSA officer and a supervisor, and they put the names in here, reluctantly allowed him into the screening area without a face covering, and then they put him through a lengthy process known as SSSS. During the extended search, he was patted down for more than 5 minutes. Every item was removed from his carry-on bag, and they even swabbed inside of his wallet. And so here's the bottom line. This guy's not a terrorist. He's a hero. As this article points out, he's He is a terrorist to China, to big government, to the world's elites. Under Biden, we will see exactly who is running this government. And we can actually see the hypocrisy writ large. Jake Tapper posted an image of himself with CNN staffers, and none of them are wearing a mask. And when he was called out on it on social media, on Twitter, he says, well, we took off our masks just for the photo. And as people said, well, did you get everybody's permission for this? Did you look at people's medical history? Did you find out if they're all vaccinated? Did you do this? Did you do that? Do you believe that there is a pandemic? Well, of course he doesn't. One person said, if you really believed in masks, you wouldn't be taking them off for anything. Certainly not for this. Stop the play acting. Another one said, why is it then that my son who's vaccinated has to wear a mask all day without any exceptions? But of course, the CNN staff don't have to. In Australia, they're stepping it up. They're now threatening citizens with seizures of homes and bank accounts over COVID violations. You see how this is rolling out worldwide? As they roll out these mandates for small businesses and other people, they're telling them, you know, we're going to hit you with fines up to $14,000. Now, Biden and some of these bills that have not yet passed wants to take that up to $700,000 per violation. Whatever happened to protection against excessive fines? Well, these are not laws. These are rules. So you don't have any due process. You don't have a jury of your peers. You don't have a jury at all. You don't have a presumption of innocence, no due process, and no protection from excessive fines. That's what they say. We've got to stop allowing them to pretend that bureaucratic rules don't come with the protections of the Bill of Rights, because it's bad enough that we have regulation without representation. We should not, therefore, then have all of, after they ignore the entire legislative process, after they turn this over to a bunch of lifelong Democrats and bureaucrats who will just produce edicts, never accountable to anybody, then to say that those edicts come without any protection whatsoever. I mean, that's absolutely amazing. If you're going to go the other way, you would say, well, you know, because your laws were elected by, because laws were created by elected people, you don't get a due process. That's not acceptable. But that would be more acceptable than the fact that you've got laws that are created by unelected bureaucrats. And then to come out and say, and okay, by the way, you don't have any due process, no rights. So in Australia, they say people who have unpaid COVID violation fines, they say they're now going to start seizing homes, seizing bank accounts. They said they're done. You know, now they're going to start taking people and making them homeless after they've taken their jobs. Because why? Because they've already been building these camps for the unvaccinated. They've said that they're going to exclude the unvaccinated forever. This is never about herd immunity. Herd immunity was nonsense. I've been saying that for over 600 days. I said it before they started. As a matter of fact, I was criticizing herd immunity when they were pushing their flu vaccine campaigns. I said there's no such thing. There's no reason back in 2019 when Trump was saying, hey, they got to get the shots, they got to get MMR and so forth. I said, no, if your shots work, if it protects you from measles or mumps or whatever, you don't need to worry about whether or not my kids had the shots. None of your business. And, you know, we've had measles. You want to talk about something being extremely, extremely rare? That is what really the case is with measles. It is extremely, extremely, extremely rare that somebody has an adverse reaction to that. You know, but they don't run this same play in both directions. And so when I was fighting it, when Trump was taking away medical and religious exemptions for kids going to school, whether it's public, private, or religious, I said, this herd immunity stuff is nonsense. And now they don't even talk about that anymore. Now it's just like everybody, 100%, got to get the precious. That's all we're going to do. So they're going to garnish wages. They're going to seize bank accounts. They're going to suspend driver's licenses for the unvaccinated. They're going to take their homes. So they'll hit them with a fine, a big fine, and then they'll start stealing everything from them. And then eventually these filthy people will be put in FEMA camps. You understand we don't have a great deal of time. You understand where this is headed. The Brisbane Times says an even larger number of people may have their credit history destroyed as the state calls in debt collectors. They're going to privatize this as well. In the West, in the rural West, some residents are taking firefighting into their own hands. This is exactly what has to happen, folks. Our country is being burned down by arsonists in Washington by arsonists in the state capitol. These people are burning down our countries, our lives. And just as these people in Washington state are getting together and protecting their farms and their homes because the government won't do it, we have to do it as well. Because the government is not only not doing the protection, the government is actually setting the fires everywhere we look. And that's the same thing that happened. You know, they went after the Hammonds and they arrested the Hammonds and put them in jail, these people, these poor farmers who lit a backfire and it burnt 1 acre or so of shrubs. You know, it wasn't even trees. And they call them terrorists. Yeah, our government has gone to war against us. And we are going to have to take care of this ourselves. That's it for the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.